This episode of The Slop on RHAP is sponsored by BetUS. Football, basketball, and baseball are back, and that means it's time to get down your bets. And I will tell you about the best. BetUS.com is the best. And why, do you ask? BetUS is a pioneer in online betting with more than 25 years in the biz. You need a sports book with integrity and longevity, and you need to know that you're going to get paid. You need a sports book that offers everything, including live betting, MMA, golf, horses, esports, all kinds of crazy bets. Call today at 1-800-69-BETUS. That's 1-800-69-BETUS. And it will walk you through setting up your account. Nobody in the industry is going to give you better bonuses than BETUS. Join now. Mention Rob has a podcast and you can get up to 150% in bonuses on your first deposit. Nobody beats that. 25 years in the business. And if you call up, you mention Rob has a podcast, you could get that 150% bonus on your first deposit. That's today at BetUS.com. Join today. That's BetUS.com.
Strategy. This is not the place for you to be. So let's have fun, let's get messy. Throw on your unitard and come with me. Welcome to the slop. Now let's get sloppy.
I am Rob Sestrino. Here we are on the podcast where we talk about nothing but the Big Brother nonsense. And I'm very happy to be joined by woman who is no nonsense. That's probably not true. Here she is. Very excited to talk with us. One of the most fun people around to talk to, in my humble opinion. She went through all of Big Brother 4 recently with Taryn Armstrong on the Big Brother blockumentary. You could hear her on a number of RHAP podcasts, also on her own podcast, Kowski Cast. Please welcome Frail Mary, Mary Krakowski. Mary, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's been 10 days since a single nonsense in my apartment. So I think we're doing okay, but now it's time for some nonsense. Time for some slop. Just call me Sloppy Joe.
Sloppy Joe. Okay. Sloppy Mary. Very happy to have you here, Mary, on a Monday. Merry Monday.
Yes. Oh, wow. Look at that. It's been a while, but we're here. We're back. We've somehow just gone full circle back to Monday. I think I've done every day at this point.
Okay. We have a fun show coming up here today. We're probably going to hear from Ryan Popola, who came into this season. This was a four-act play. He came on excited, concerned, defeated, and then ultimately Janelle and Kacer, for all intents and purposes, it's over. He'll come on to turn out the lights on the Janelle and Kacer show. And then we're going to speak with Kelly Wentworth of Survivor. She is a Big Brother fan. We'll hear what she has to say about this. And then we'll be joined by Nigel and Kevin. We'll take some calls from the listeners. That's my favorite thing to do. I love to hear what you guys have to say. Be on the lookout. We'll post a link coming up in a little bit where we'll take your calls once again here on The Slop. Mary, how have you been?
I've been good. You know, I think that there hasn't been too much going on in my house at all. So I think that, you know, Big Brother. Oh, hang on. Hold on. My star baby is just acting up again.
Okay. I mean, Mary is okay. You don't really have a star baby.
No. I don't have an Enzo to bring those out of me. So I think that that's probably for the best, all in all.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I wasn't sure if you needed to attend to Star Baby at all.
No, it's fine. It likes to chill by itself and I let it cry and then I can push the mute button and it's great.
That's great. That's the way to do it. All right. So here we are at the end of, or the sort of, I guess still the middle of Enzo's HOH week, looking very much like Kacer is not much longer for the Big Brother world, but you know, there's still 72 hours to go.
There's a I don't want to say there's no hope left, but if I had a veil, I might be wearing it.
Mm-hmm. No, Mary, so. Are you a big Kacer fan?
I feel like everybody who's a fan of old school Big Brother kind of has to be a Kacer fan. I think he's grown on me, actually. I wasn't the biggest Kacer fan like the first time around. I kind of just didn't get the whole "what up, Kacer" thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
didn't really get it.
We've had very little of that this season.
Yeah, not as much. Kind of wish we had a little bit more. But you know, he's nice. I think at this point with new school Big Brother, you just kind of have to root for the underdogs a lot of the time. But my philosophy has been, if you want to be happy, just root for whoever is in charge and is going to win.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right. So hopefully only pertaining to the Big Brother house, Mary's outlook on life. Okay, Mary, let's talk a little bit here. We like to kick things off here in part one of the slop. We call it the end zone.
Oh, it's my favorite zone.
The end zone is back. And we're going to talk about a clip, which I didn't really know this was going on the CBS Instagram. We have to go to check out some of this. Too much gold in the show. Some of the good stuff is getting pushed off to social media.
Oh, okay. I have not seen this. Is it exciting?
Oh, yes. Very, very exciting stuff that we're going to... Oh, wait, hold on. We have a podcast yeller. All right, we're going to have to turn the feeds off. I'm sorry, everybody. All right, we got to shut it down.
Oh, no.
We're going to have a lockdown. I think we might have to have a lockdown. Did you hear that?
We'll be back in 4 hours. Yeah,
we had a wall shouter. I'm sorry. Okay, hold on. We're going to send security out there to see what's going on. That happens sometimes. They're trying to impact the show.
They're trying. You know, maybe she needs a banner plane instead.
Yeah, it was a wall shouter. I wasn't sure exactly what they said. I think it was, "Where's Taryn?"
I think so. That's generally what people shout, so I think so.
Yeah, okay, all right.
I do that all the time. Just walk outside. Where's Taryn?
We'll try to push on because, you know, got to watch out. All right, so let's go ahead and bring in a clip. This was sent in to us by one of our listeners, Jeffrey Goldstein, who recommended this clip from the CBS Instagram. And why don't we go ahead and let's watch it together. How about that? Okay. Here we go. This is a clip and it's called Body by Bay. And it is about Bailey teaching a yoga class in the Big Brother house. Let's go ahead and let's check it out. All right. Here is Body by Bay.
Body by Bay is on the way, guys. Get prepared. It's going to be amazing. You're going to love it.
That's not for me.
Exhale, half hot moon.
Yeah. Now, Mary, does it surprise you? Yoga not for Enzo.
No, I mean, I think maybe if she marketed it as Body by Bay plus a side of chicken parm, then he might be down.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I feel like that it's a real trope of, hey, we're on a reality show. Let's do a yoga class.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I mean, you know, Bay, won't you come to yoga? It's just got a nice ring to it. Body by Bay, I think, is good. You got to go for the alliteration.
That's good. But okay.
I think that's good. I mean, hey, you know what? Put me on Big Brother. I'll teach everyone to juggle. It'll be different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Vitas Bushkauskas, who was a one-time tribe mate of Kelly Wentworth, he teaches yoga on Beachbody on Demand.
Yes. Yes, Beach Beatty on Demand. No.
Okay. Exhale. Half hot moon on your right. Okay.
On your right. Now slowly rise to standing. Bring your hands to heart center. Take a deep breath with your eyes closed. Tell yourself that you love yourself.
I don't do yoga. I don't understand it. It's really weird.
The fun part, we'll just twist out to get it upside down. There we go. You got it.
Yeah.
Woo! Great job.
I don't know what yoga is. I thought he was a cartoon on like Star Wars. You know what I mean? I don't.
All right. I don't know what yoga is. I thought he was a cartoon on Star Wars.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yoga. I mean, that's how everyone speaks. When you speak in yoga voice and you say, man, I don't know yoga is. Yeah, it's all fine. That's definitely what it is. I think the problem is that Bailey said, you know, bring your hands to heart center and tell you that you love yourself. I think maybe that Enzo just doesn't love himself enough for yoga.
Is that possible?
I think that Enzo, he's being the class clown. He's the guy in the back of the class who he's got a lot of people laughing, but are they laughing at him or laughing with him? I think that's the question.
Call me X in the chat says body by Bayonne. That's a good one.
There you go.
Okay. So Mary, I know you are a big Star Wars fan. I know you have a Star Wars backdrop behind you.
Yes.
What do you think would be funnier? Would you rather hear... we'll do some more would you rathers later. Would you rather hear Enzo talking only as Yoda or Yoda talking only as Enzo?
Yeah, Yoda talking only as Enzo would be really great. Someone please dub that. Just pick one of the movies and dub in Enzo voice for Yoda. And I even just do a clip.
Do Somebody or do not, do yo. There yeah. is no try, yo. You know what I mean?
That'd be great. I would really, really love it.
800 years old. You look as good as me. Okay, yo?
Right. I mean, next thing you know, Enzo and Christmas are going to be making some baby Yodas, and it's going to be great.
Baby Yodas. Oh, no. Yeah, wouldn't that have been something if instead of a star baby, if Christmas would have taken care of a million baby Yodas?
It'd be great. You know, use the force, yo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would have been much, much more viral. But alas, Disney copyright issues. Okay. Back to Body by Bay.
Roll your hips a little bit. Just loosen up your body.
Dude should not be in that position. You're not going to see me in no sexual yoga positions.
Sorry, ladies. You will not be seeing Enzo in any sexual yoga positions.
Now, this is where I'm surprised. Because as we know, Enzo's been having a little bit of trouble in the house. He's been a little bit thirsty, right? Hangry for some loving. And so I think that maybe if he just took some time to get into some of those sexual yoga positions, that maybe he'd see the light. Maybe it would release some kind of tension. I don't know.
Love me. Love you, babe.
I'm a namaste out of this one.
What do you think of that tag from Enzo? I'm a namaste out of this one.
I think there's too many words. I think it should just be namaste out of this one.
So I think
namaste out of this one.
Enzo's in the diary room. I don't think that he's writing namaste out of this one. So I think that he might have just butchered the delivery of I'm a namaste out of this one.
Yeah, well, that's why I think that the butchering of the delivery is why it's on Instagram and not on the show proper.
Maybe. If you would have nailed it, it could have been on the episode. Now, Mary, I don't know if you can make this out, but if you notice that we get to see the comments, and I don't know if it's the people that I follow or people that are verified or up at the top of the page, but if you look over here, Mr. Pectacular responded, I'm with Enzo. Hashtag, I just don't want to be fat, yo. Call back to Enzo from a couple of weeks ago. Mr. Pectacular is a prolific commenter on the Big Brother CBS Instagram account, Mary.
Really?
Yes.
I'm not that surprised. I feel like he's going to do anything to try and get it to stay in this bubble. So that checks out.
To stay in this bubble or to get in the bubble?
Well, true. Get back in the bubble. He was there for a while, so maybe he could have come in and led some Yoda classes.
Mm. Mary, I have talked about this before on the podcast, that Mr. Pectacular is quite the enigma of a presence on social media. I don't know a lot about Jesse and what he does in his daily life. I would imagine there's a lot of time in the gym. He seems to be somewhat busy with the wrestling, but somehow he does have a lot of time for social media. And a lot of his social media is very weird press releases, tweeting about ratings. It seems very corporate for Mr. Pectacular.
Well, I think that he's got, you know, probably his marketing and and if he can't be on the show to, you know, sell himself that way, then everybody knows that, you know, I mean, I find all of my ratings, information, and press releases, I go straight to Twitter and Instagram. That's where I go for that.
Yes, to check out Mr. Pectacular. All right. So Mr. Pectacular, prolific commenter on the Big Brother Instagram account. I have a game for you today, Mary.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. I love games.
The game is, okay, what did Mr. Pectacular comment? Okay, it's a little bit of a takeoff on Rupert's tweets. These are Jesse's comments. Let's call this game "I wish that these were Jesse's comments."
Perfect. I can see a theme song in the making.
Yes. Okay. We'll get Will from America on standby. All right. All right. So I'm going to give you two comments. One is the real comment from Mr. Pectacular. The other one is a fake. I will show you the picture, and then you tell me, which one do you wish was Jesse's comment? Okay?
Okay.
All right. Here we go. All right. So let's look at the first of these pictures, okay? This is actually the one that is, okay, this is Ian and Christmas in the hammock, okay? Okay, Ian and Christmas in the hammock. Hold on, I scrolled past it. Okay, so this one that's all the way on the left. Ian and Christmas in the hammock. All right, Mary, did Mr. Pectacular comment Ian and Christmas in the hammock? Nothing like that SoCal sunshine. Or did he tweet, what's cooking, question mark? Grilled chicken and broccoli for this guy.
Right. Okay. So are we going with the Rupert tweet version of just stating what the picture is, pretty much?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing like some SoCal sunshine. Or are we getting an update on Jesse's kitchen habits?
Yeah.
And his meal planning? Now, I want the answer to be the meal planning.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go with that one.
Okay. You say that it's meal planning. Let's go ahead and take a look. And the answer there is, Mr. Pectacular says, nothing like that SoCal sunshine.
All right. I'm calibrated. I know what kind of thing he's going to be saying.
Sorry. Okay. So that's it.
But I bet he is cooking some broccoli.
Probably. All right, round two of I wish that these were Jesse's comments, okay? Let's go to the competition from the other night, okay? They tweeted out of this picture of the competition from the other night, okay? This is a picture that did Jesse end up saying, this challenge is right up my alley, if you know what I mean. Or did he say, literally, a crapshoot for HOH? These are the competitions I personally love to see. # anyone's game to lose.
Why would he love crapshoots? I feel like that doesn't fit with the persona I have of Jesse, though.
It's almost like it's not his voice, Mary.
Yeah, almost.
Oddly. Yes.
Almost. Like this is just someone on the marketing team. What was the first one again?
How dare you imply that? That Mr. Pectacular strikes me as a guy who's commenting on every single Instagram picture on the CBS Big Brother account. Come on, Mary. Don't even float that out there.
I mean, you know, maybe this is what he gets up to when he's in the gym.
In between sets, sure.
Little rewards, you know, do a set, send a comment, check in on the BB house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like it's almost too much on the nose, but I think I'm gonna go with the one with the hashtag. So let's go with B.
Okay. Which did Jesse comment? Jesse ended up saying that you are right. That
yes.
He said that it was, these are the competitions that he likes to see. It's anybody's game. Okay? There you go.
There we go.
All right. Trying to get the comments back where you can see them. Okay. My computer is not being very cooperative today. Mr. Spectacular has put a hex on me. Here we go. Literally a crapshoot for HOH. These are the competitions I personally love to see. Anyone's game to lose.
Oh, gosh.
He loves a random comp, Mr. Spectacular.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't seem to remember that being the case when he was in the house, but...
Mm-hmm. All right. There was a picture that was of Janelle and Kacer here in the backyard. Kacer is wearing his NASA t-shirt. Takes a picture with Janelle. Did Mr. Spectacular tweet, "Tonight is going to be one for the record books!" Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. Or, "Find a more iconic pair, period. I'll wait."
Yeah, see, the second one would make sense, and that would be a good Big Brother thing. But I'm going to go with the first one. I just don't think that he's a... Whoever's doing this, you know, I don't think they're on hip with the lingo, you know?
And the answer there is, tonight is going to be one for the record books.
Yeah. See, I think here's what you need to do. What we need to do is we need Big Brother to post a picture of the coup d'etat, right?
Yes.
And then see if he comments, "Oh, I hated that," or something about how, you know, "Oh, yeah."
Well, why are they trying to out Mr. Spectacular?
I just think it would be a good little test to see if, not just outing it, but I would like to know if the person who is tweeting for Mr. Spectacular knows him at all.
In fairness, I will say on this picture where it's Davon, is this the one? Yes, that only on birthdays we always have epic birthday celebrations, right, Keisha? ? Keisha? ? Too soon.
Okay. No Keisha in the picture though, but
no Keisha in the picture. And I don't know how much is Jesse really bringing up the Keisha's birthday thing so much.
Well, is the Jesse commenter, you know, surfing around, just Googling topical
about a lot recently.
Right, okay. Yeah. So that's there.
All right. Last one. Last one, Mary. You've redeemed yourself, okay?
I have.
All right.
Bring it
all
back.
Right. Janelle and Kacer went on the block last week. The nominations came in. Here is a photo from the memory wall of Kacer and Janelle. Did Mr. Spectacular say, "Damn, got him," or... did he say, "Never saw it coming"?
Let's see. Yeah, let's go "never saw it coming." Because, I mean, the rest of the world saw it coming.
Okay. Mr. Spectacular ended up saying, "Damn, got him."
Ah, damn, got him. Well, he came back. You know, he came back. They got him. He got him. And then it was a night of history in the making, or whatever.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Mary. So you went 2 for 2. Okay.
2 for 2. Not as good as Twitch. But
okay. All right. Here we go. Did the tiebreaker? Did Mr. Spectacular say on this picture of four people? Did he say David? Or did he say Enzo?
That's it? Just the name?
Yeah.
That's it? That's the comment? Oh, gosh. David or Enzo? I mean, why would you say David? I mean, I would hope he would say Enzo, but is that... It's now I'm second-guessing myself. Mm-hmm. Is it so on the nose, or is it so off the nose? Yeah, let's go David. Let's just see. It's probably, you know.
He said Enzo.
Enzo. Well, cool, calm, and never nervous, so.
He likes to also end with 3 emoji. I don't know if he's a big mojo guy.
Yeah, clearly a big mojo guy.
He's laughing because the Enzo was so funny.
All right. Well, you know what? I think that this was this was rigged from the start.
Rigged. Okay. Let me give you something else that I came across today that came across my desk. All right. So that we know that Cody Calafiore has been so dominant so far this season.
My brother Cody.
But it was a different Calafiore who had a tweet that came across my desk. Paulie Calafiore had an observation about this season.
Stay crushing it.
He said today, new concept, Big Brother, most hated house guest of all time. That way, y'all get whatever savage gameplay you want on a regular basis and really can't say S word because whoever is playing really won't give a F word what you say anyway, shrug emoji, hashtag BB22.
Okay, so that seems like a thought process of what's going to benefit the people in the house.
Mm-hmm.
I like the self-awareness of, you know, I'm presuming he thinks that he's on that list. So there's that.
Mm.
Now, here's
what
I
think he's sort of embraced that he's the bad guy at this point. I think he's sort of like taking the, you know, he wears the black hat.
Sure. And here's what I do actually like about this idea, because while I would... There are people who I did not love. If you have a whole house full of people I don't love, then every eviction is like a party, mm-hmm. celebration. We get to see the people we don't like getting voted out. You're not rooting for people. You're rooting against people to get out earlier. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, instead of being sad when you have two of your faves on the block, it's just a race to which person from the bottom you hate more.
Yeah, Mary, I actually think this is a really good idea where I know for a long time that there's talk about like Survivor should do villains versus villains. But I do think that once you put people and you sort of like label them the villains, like I think that they sort of like can act. They're free to act however they want. And it's sort of like, okay, oh, I'm the villain. I already, you know, you expect this from me. Whereas, like, would Nicole Franzel come back for a season of Most Hated? She would be like, if they told them off front what that was, she'd be like, I'm not going on this season. It's supposed only for people that are hated. And if you had a problem with being hated, you wouldn't even show up.
So should they have done, this is a house full of villains, and Nicole Franzel, and then the twist is they're all villains. Just one of them doesn't know it.
Mm-hmm. No, they tricked her to come back.
They tricked her. They said, yeah, Nicole, it's going to be, it's a new twist. It's like all villains and you, the non-villain.
I like this one. Okay. Mary, let me give you one. This is from one of our great listeners, Marietta. Sent us a game that was played in the Big Brother house this week. The Big Brother contestants were playing a game of Would You Rather. Of course, Would You Rather is a favorite of many past Big Brother house guests.
Would you rather fight a giant mosquito one time and get your ass whipped by it? Or would you like the relationship that you have and never get bit again? Or do you like the relationship that you have with mosquitoes right now?
It's my favorite. I had my ass whipped by a giant mosquito this weekend.
I am continuously getting my ass beat by a bunch of mosquitoes. I would much rather take the beat down.
I would take anything other than the relationship I currently have with mosquitoes.
My ankles are just, I'm nonstop scratching at my ankles. I look like Colleen Haskell right now. It's it's rough. Anyway, so I want to give you some of the Big Brother 22 house guests created would you rather questions and then get your answers to them. Okay.
Again,
thank you to Marietta. This was great. We get first from Cody Calafiore has one. This is from the mind of Cody.
My brother Cody.
Okay. All right. Would you rather have a tattoo on your shoulder of your ex or have a tattoo of a tattoo on your significant other's shoulder with a picture of their ex?
Well, that kind of sucks.
Okay. All right.
Ooh.
Now, hold on. Tell me if this makes sense. And I want to make sure that I have no doubt Marietta transcribed this correctly because this is a little confusing. Would you rather have it? I get the part. Would you rather have a tattoo on your shoulder of your ex? Okay. All right. You have an ex. tattoo on the shoulder, or have a tattoo on your significant other's shoulder with a picture of their ex. So I'm assuming that, forget that, I think the part of a
picture of is confusing. Part.
Right. All right. So I think it's, would you rather have a tattoo of your ex, or you have a significant other, but they have a tattoo of their ex?
Okay. So here's what I'm thinking. In scenario two, I have a significant other. So that sounds pretty preferable to me at the moment.
Nailed it. That's an easy one. That's an easy one. Okay. All right.
Yeah. In one scenario, I have an ex. In the other scenario, I have a significant other.
Okay. All right. Then Cody has another one. Okay. Cody's second one is, would you rather have armpit hair that reaches your hips and must be in view, or ear hair down to your shoulders and you have to have short hair?
I mean, it must be in view.
who's enforcing this?
Like, does that mean that if you're wearing a long sleeve shirt, you have to like poke it through the sleeve hole? Like, it
I
has
feel like
to
you would get
view?
Caught on things.
Yeah.
Can you
I
get
feel
a scrunchie?
Like be, I feel like that'd be incredible. Yeah, I mean, could I braid it? Like, I mean, it could be in view, but like if you braid it, you could like wrap it around your arm. That could be kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want short hair, although that would be more, you know, cooler in the summer months. So there's all that. I think I'm gonna go arm hair, but I don't know what the always in view means. Am I wearing tank tops from here on out? That doesn't sound fun. So this is very gross. Why come up with these? I like the first question better. Which of these two options gives me a significant other? Can I ask that?
This is from Tyler. Okay. These are a little insight into Tyler's mind. Okay. Would you rather have
Would you rather be boring and win the game? Would you rather come in second place and be brought back and be boring again?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Would you rather have a tattoo, Tyler asks, of a fork above your eyebrow, or a tattoo of a mural of your own face? What are these options?
I mean, okay, hang on. A mural of my own face sounds pretty nice. Why would I have a fork on my eyebrow?
I think I'd rather have a mural of my of my own face.
Yeah, it could be abstract. It could be kind of cool.
Yeah. Wait, a tattoo of a mural of your own face? But where is it? I have on my body, I have a tattoo of my face?
I guess so, but it's a mural, so it's going to be beautiful.
Okay.
That's better.
Now, here's the thing. I think that maybe we should be looking at this. I don't know if Tyler is doing great, Mary. This is a question he asked, would you rather? Would you rather leave right now or go the whole way and get third place? I feel like Tyler is talking about he's not having fun. We want to leave now.
Right, right. Would you want to go home to Angela or get third place? No third place money. More clout.
Yeah. Mm. I think I'd rather get third place.
Yeah, I think I'd rather get third place.
I don't know. Okay.
I don't know. I mean, I have no concept of what it feels like to go all the way and get third place. But
listen, I can answer this question. All right. If you want somebody to weigh in on, would you rather be the fourth person voted out or would you rather be in third place? Third place is better. Okay.
Yeah. What's wrong with Tyler?
I don't know. That's a good question. You guys got to get Rachel Swindler to answer that. I think he might be getting depressed.
I think so.
I know he's talking about like, this game's not fun. I don't like this house.
He's got a Tangela pillow, though. Yeah. You know?
All right. One last one. Ian had a question. Okay. This one might be the most interesting. Would you rather change your name permanently to Ignatz McSmelly Pants or have permanent cheetah hands?
Ooh. Cheetah hands. Yeah, I mean, Ignatz, right?
Right, who cares? Right? I mean, I have cheetah hands. I'm a monster. I cannot type.
Sure
I can't do anything.
Could, You could change your name and then just have a nickname.
I can't go to the bathroom. My life is hell with cheetah hands. My name is Ignance McSmelly Pants. It's catchy.
Hey, Sarah. You know, yeah. We're not forgetting that one.
Okay. All right. Let's bring in a regular staple here on the slop. Although maybe for the last time. Here he is. Maybe the season finale here from this man. Mr. Ryan Popola is here. Ryan, star of WWE's The Bump. Here he is. Okay.
Hello, Bob. Hello, yes. Mary. Hello.
Yes. Hello. How are you, Ryan?
Ignance. Like, there's no contrast.
Would you rather be Ignance McSmelly Pants or have permanent cheetah hands?
Like, I think that's one of the worst would you rathers of all time. Like, you could just be called Nance for short, and then no one would even know.
Yeah,
like,
Iggy. I mean,
yeah, I'm a big Azalea guy. Yeah, no, there's like, that's, I don't understand these people, but that's been a reoccurring theme throughout all 4 weeks.
Was this a childhood nickname of Ian or something? Did he get called this once and it's just really stuck? It's
it does seem like a very specific thing, especially to come up with on the spot.
Yeah.
Is Ian short for Ignance?
Yes, I think that's the math on that, yes.
Yeah, okay. All right, thank you very much to Marietta for sending us those would you rathers from the Big Brother house. All right.
Thank you.
Ryan, would you rather have never seen your heroes return to the Big Brother house, or have them come back but have nary a moment of victory other than Kacer winning the safety suite in week one and to be unceremoniously thrown from the Big Brother 22 house?
I just bought some safety suite magnets with Kacer and Janelle's name on them yesterday. Yeah,
that was the high point. We didn't realize that they peaked in week one.
Yeah, no, we probably should have seen it coming. It's a
twinkle, little star. That was it.
it's a neck and neck race. I think the positives of them being on for me as a human, I lean towards. I'm glad that they came back because it's been like such a positive, like nostalgic and just overwhelmingly joyous thing for me personally. But from the watching the show perspective and just from a frustration point, it's neck and neck. But I think I'm don't cry, it's over, smile because it happened or whatever the heck it is. I think that's the camp that I'm in. But Kacer's entire Big Brother career is just Lucy with the football. That is the conclusion that I've come to.
That's what Julie Chen should have said on the way out the door.
Yeah,
looks at the camera at the end, don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened.
Yes.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was going to say that I do have a good Janelle and Julie Chen Moonves moment that I pulled for this episode of the podcast. This came from some of the exit press Janelle was doing. And Janelle talks about a moment that happened between her and Julie Chen Moonves on the set of the show. Of course, Julie Chen Moonves, a big fan of Janelle, much like yourself. When they showed that picture of the big alliance to get Janelle's reaction, Julie had a chance to speak with Janelle about that picture of six that they showed her for a few moments after they got done rolling.
Oh, I think Christmas surprised me the most. That was the one that surprised me the most. And I remember, I think it cut to commercial, and I said, Julie, and Julie's like, are you shocked, Janelle? And I'm like, I said, yeah, I am. And I said, how did Christmas get in there? And she pointed to the house and she goes, I don't know. Like, how does she get on the show? And I said, no, not the show, the alliance.
That's great.
Oh, I'm glad they came back officially now just for that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Janelle was really just on fire during that press tour, eh?
Yeah, she's been good. She's been good on the press circuit.
Is there money in after Kacer goes in a few days, like Kacer and Janelle being like the Seacrest and Dunkelman for Julie the rest of the way through? Is there anything to that?
You think that they should host the show?
Yeah, I just want to, just really selfishly, I'd like to keep watching, and I'm not going to in 3 days. Is there anything to that or no?
Are you starting this rumor?
Yeah, no, it's okay. Me. It's
Mary, what do you think? All right, Julie Chen Moonves, let's just say she retires at the end of 2020. Hey, 20 years. I said I only wanted to do 20 years of Big Brother. I've done it. Okay, search for a new Big Brother host, Janelle and Kacer, as the hosts of Big Brother.
I like this concept of them being duo hosts. Mm-hmm. That's nice. I mean, at this point, if you have them, if you have Dr. Will ever come into these round tables, then it's just like a nice Big Brother All-Stars reunion. Got some people who, at the very least, have played the game. And I think it helps that you don't have to find like the perfect replacement because you've got a pair so they can riff off each other if the house guest is a little stale. Yeah, I think that'd be good.
Yeah. I don't know if it's the right pair. I feel like that Kacer is going to be very serious, but maybe that like he could be like doing like they might be a good tag team for the interviews. Look, you could do a lot worse.
I think so. I don't know. That's you know, I'm just scrambling here. Although I'm not going to miss the show. I'm going to miss you, Bob. Yeah. Although I guess I can text you. Like, you know, and everyone's
rekindled our friendship.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to think it was always kindled, but, you know, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
basically, look, Janelle and Kacer are us, you know, that we were, you know.
Who's who?
Yeah. I think you're Kacer.
Bro, what?
Yeah, what, you want to be Janelle?
I mean, I don't know. It's like, I guess it depends on how we're looking at it through what lens, but, like, you know, I guess, you know, we can talk about it offline.
Yeah. I mean, if you're fantasy football playoff performances.
All right, now yeah. Let's not lose the people.
Okay. nobody's had more one and duns than you.
Okay, all right. So what else do you want to talk about?
Yeah. No. Okay. So I do have some breaking news at this hour.
Ooh.
Breaking news are happening now.
Okay. Some breaking news at this hour. Okay. We go to speaking of Janelle Pierzina's spicy social media. Janelle has posted, hey, just received my invite for Nicole's wedding. She says $3,000 for the hotel. So Nicole's reception and hotel stay can basically be comped. Glad I don't have to go. She said, I hate cheap ass weddings where the go-to song is Cotton Eye Joe.
I love
that Janelle, one. But she won't go. Okay. I'll save that for the little wand off. There you go. Cool. I love that. Passport.
Did you, Janelle's been a little fiery in general on the Instagram lately. I don't know if I can read this one that my friend Lauren sent me yesterday, but has a comment she made about Nicole been making the rounds?
I mean, I don't know what it is.
I mean, I can't read it. I you know, it's a person said, I love you, Janelle, but the way you were going for Nicole, not cool. You're not the queen. Nicole is the queen. The first girl to ever
be
the
guy. Oh, yeah, yeah, I saw this one. Yeah,
okay. I'm not tied in as close as you guys.
Yeah, she's talking about some of things Nicole did in past seasons.
Yeah, but I mean, again, I thought, I don't want to, it was cool. I thought, she's just been money.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan, what would you like to see Kacer say when he comes out?
Oh, I don't know. I'm a little frustrated at the show last week for not, like, Janelle and Kacer had that one great conversation that I think I actually referenced with you last week on here. They didn't show a single second of it. I think CBS has really done these guys dirty on the way out the door. But I'm just happy he's going to get back to his wife and kid. The Bailey stuff these last couple of days is really, I canceled the feeds. I'm out. Who's he going to have like a waxing poetic conversation with in the next 3 days? Nobody. Like, what, am I going to see him like, you know, get emotional with Memphis? I don't care. I've unfollowed Big Brother updates or whatever on Twitter. I'm out. I was watching the show today and I'm realizing it's beginning to have a very negative effect on my mood. And so I'm glad. In a lot of ways, I'm glad it's over. I just hope he has a nice few days.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
Am I wrong, Bob? Real quick. Am I wrong? I'll keep this light. I don't want to get like too knee deep into strategy. Mary, please, for you as well. Am I wrong for thinking that how I'm interpreting this is Enzo keeps saying, without actually saying it, this is absolutely idiotic that I'm getting rid of Kacer over literally anyone in this house, but that's still what he's going to do anyway. Am I reading that right the last 48 hours?
I would think that it's similar to, you know, where Tyler's hands were tied last week, where I don't think that necessarily getting rid of Janelle and Kacer was top of his to-do list, but I think it was a little bit like, boy, well, there's a lot of pressure on me from this big alliance that I have to do this. This isn't necessarily what I would do, but my hands are a little tied here.
Yeah, I think the main thing here is the fine line you have to walk between doing what's best for you purely versus doing what's best for to keep you safe in the eyes of others. He's HOH now. He's not going to be next week. And so maybe he could have spent the week trying to keep Kacer and trying to build a separate coalition. And then we'd have two different groups going at each other. But it's week four. Does he really want to get that kind of blood on his hands to save Kacer?
I think it would have been a smart decision. That's just I don't know.
Become a legend. Yeah.
Yeah. I get it, though. But what I've noticed, and I know this was more the theme last week with the old school, new school stuff, but I've noticed literally just in the last couple of days just how diametrically different this season particularly is to, like, most recent seasons of Survivor. Like, I know that, like, Probst hammers home the make big moves thing, but, like, this is the complete antithesis of a big move. And I don't know. I just, like, you know, as someone who used to really love the show, I am now also experiencing in real time, like, the contrast between how it was and how it is.
Oh, this is an interesting point, Mary. What do you think about this, what Ryan brings up, where that the problem with Big Brother and Survivor is exactly the opposite problem. On Survivor, so much happens so fast, we can't even follow it. Big Brother is the complete opposite. Nothing happens and nobody does anything, and there's way too much we see it way too much, but they also don't do a great job of explaining the very subtle chess moves going on.
That as well.
Yeah, well, I mean, Survivor, because of its format and because of, in particular, if you just look at the two shows and how different their final tribal, final vote, mm-hmm. jury speech kind of format is. In Survivor, it really, really helps to make big, flashy moves throughout the game, yeah. especially toward the end game that you're impressing right in front of the jury. It helps to have a resume, and then, you know, that's going to go into a lot of the decision making. With Big Brother, it helps to stay quiet, remain safe, just get to the end, and then be likable in those last final moments. It's a lot quicker of a final decision with a really long marathon you got to do to get there. And so for someone like Enzo, you know, if this was a game where there wasn't any money, then you would see a lot more quick plays of, you know, if there was just some sort of glory type prize. But because they're playing for money, and the longer you last, the more money you get, you might as well just play it safe until that point. I know people can say it's boring, they're sheep, they're playing it safe. But if you were there and your two options were go home or make it to the final three, I think we just did that, a lot of people would have said make it to the final three.
I agree with that, Mary, 100%. Period, end of sentence. The only thing that I find odd in watching these last few weeks is, you know, Franz or whoever said, like, the game's so much more layered now. It's like, the game couldn't be any less layered. Like,
the game now has one format, and yeah. you need to get into that format or get out. And for all the people who were not in that big alliance, and mm-hmm. that's, you know, Kacer and Janelle and Ian and whoever else, for those people, yeah, it's really easy for the people to be in the alliance and say, oh, you just didn't catch on to the new gameplay. No, you just didn't get picked for our big alliance, or you didn't worm your way in there early enough. Don't flatter yourself by saying that it's a more complicated game now. It's not. It's just there's a really quick 50-50 breaking point of you're either in or you're out. Yeah. And it used to be a little more fluid in the past.
Yeah. I just think this is such an interesting comparison, and we could talk about this with Kelly as well, just that there's so much variance in Survivor where it's almost impossible to follow because at times it seems almost random who's going to go home based on idols and powers and all these different things that could happen, who has the idol, where that the whole appeal to Survivor is literally anybody could go home at any moment and you don't even know, whereas Big Brother is completely the opposite of that, where we know exactly who is going home, and there's almost nothing that can change how static it is.
By the way, real quick, I've done a lot of cool things. Very cool.
You certainly have.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. But I was going to say, very near top of the list, that I'm the opening act for Kelly Wentworth. Very cool thing.
Why? You big Wentworth stan?
Oh, I'm a big fan of the Wentworth. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Add it
yeah.
down, write it to your resume, pitch it to the jury at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Ryan, okay, so you are the Kacer and Janelle expert. One of our listeners, I won't say her name here on the podcast, that she tweeted or sent in a question. Should I feel guilty about my Kacer sex dream when it turned out that his wife is just as perfect a magical human as he is?
I don't think so, right? I mean, that these things happen. His wife does seem like a lovely, lovely person. I feel bad for these posts from yesterday and the you know, these last couple of days. I feel bad that, you know, like, what a, this, like, I can't imagine. Like, I feel like Janelle's family's used to this, and Janelle really doesn't care. Like, Kaser's such an empath and cares so deeply about everything. You would imagine the people in his life are similar. And so, really, like, that Bailey thing yesterday was just terrible.
Set
like,
that up.
I don't. I missed the beginning. It was the last thing I watched on the feeds. Will probably be the last thing I ever watch on the Big Brother feeds was Kaser getting yelled at for no good reason. I think Kaser was just once again like, "Hey, we're losing. Let's start winning." And Bailey was like, "You're right, but you're being absolutely mean about it." Like, I don't know. I understand that Bailey's a human being, and Kaser, as I think I said to you week one, not making excuses for him through no fault of his own, definitely could have a better approach. I don't think he's cognizant of the I don't think he does it intentionally. I just think that's his approach. I think some of it's out of his control, which doesn't mean he shouldn't work on it. He should. And I think that's what Bailey's keyed in on. But, you know, I'm sure many people watching this know. But, like, yeah, she was just like, Kaser, you're coming at me a little too hard. And you could tell he just felt awful about it. And then I felt awful for him. And I said, I'm out. That's it. I got to go. I mean, it really was just like the perfect encapsulation of everything that's happened to him this year. Because, I mean, you know, I think at one point Bailey said it's like, you know, week two was the time to do something about this. And I'm literally in my apartment screaming like, didn't he pull like all of you guys into a room like before Nicole Anthony went out and you laughed him out of the building? It's like he called a group huddle. And you're like, all right, Kaser, calm down. And it's like, Kaser's resume will look the way it looks in 3 days. And like, that's going to be unavoidable. But in this instance in particular, and this is something I wanted to bring up in a second, I don't really know what much else he could have done other than what he tried.
Yeah, you make a good point that he came in week one was like, this house is on fire. This house is on fire, week two. This house is on fire, week three. Week four, this house is on fire. It's like, you didn't say anything about the house being on fire. I'm sorry, you gotta go.
And Bailey's a smart girl. Yeah, Bailey's a smart girl. I'll be rooting for her and Devon, you know, from afar when, you know, in a few days.
Yeah.
But I just didn't like it. That's the one thing, though. The one thing that I've keyed in terms of Kaser's fatal flaw in this game, I think can be traced back to season six. And I've been thinking a lot about this because I think, and you, I would want to ask both of you because you will know much more about the last
yes.
8 years than I have. People talk about the I sealed your partner's fate and that's the big moment. But I think from that same episode, I think the more damning thing for Kaser that has affected him throughout the rest of his Big Brother career was the formation of the Sovereign Six was literally Kaser pulling a bunch of people in the room and going, hey, we're in an alliance now. And they went, okay. And they actually were. That's not really how it goes, I think, typically in Big Brother. Like, Kaser just said, hey, you five, you're with
it
me.
It worked and that like, one time, yeah.
I feel like that has irreparably ruined him. Because he probably doesn't even realize it, but that's what he did this season. He identified the people who were in trouble almost entirely accurately. He's had one or two bad reads, but by and large, he's been 90% right about everything. And he pulled those people in and he said, we should do this. And when he tried that in 2005, they were like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And let's do it. And he ended up, you know, forming the most loyal alliance in history, specifically with Howie and Janelle. But that's not by and large how it works. And I think that ruined him for the last 15 years, if I'm just being realistic. Is that spot on, probably?
Mary, what do you think?
I don't know if I would say that's what ruined him. I mean, I think that's the key to the new game of Big Brother is the fact that you have these big power players, whether it be Cody or Tyler or whoever, and they don't let everyone on the outside know that they're on the outside. So when he tried to pull the group together, yeah, he was technically right about a lot of those people. But, you know, Bailey, Devon, Ian, Christmas, they're not going to feel like they're on the outside, Kevin. And also just circumstantially, these all-stars those outside people didn't all like each other and didn't want to play together. So I'd say that was bad. I think his biggest flaw is just being Kaser, being who he is, having that name, being the older player. And at some point that's going to be unless he was able to get in there with more than just Janelle and some of his other old friends, that's just how it's going to shake out for him 9 times out of 10.
Okay, what Ryan, we got to run to get to Kelly Wentworth, but hold on before you go. What's Kaser's next move? Do we ever see Kaser on our TV again?
I think so. I think you'll get him in for something or other. I mean, I don't know if he'll ever be on national television again. I hope he is. I hope I'm wrong. But this was cool. These 4 weeks were cool. And seriously, I appreciate everyone. Assuming this is, I'll come in for the finale if you want me, Bob. But like, this was very nice. I appreciate how nice everyone's been. And it really, I was thinking the other day, Bob, about like, you know, I hit you up for that Lost podcast 10 years ago, and here we are. Very cool stuff.
Yeah. Look, you're a big part of this.
I appreciate that. But this was a lot of fun. And just tell Kelly Wentworth I think she's swell.
Okay. Okay. All right. I think she can hear you. Okay.
All right, cool. She's swell.
All right. Brian Popola, catch him on The Bump on
Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Streaming on WWE Network across all WWE shows and platforms. We have a lot of fun. And Sam Roberts on the show this week, among other guests. Seriously, thanks to everybody. This has been super cool. Jacer for life.
Okay. All right. Take care, buddy.
Bye, guys.
All right. Before we get to Kelly Wentworth here, I want to just take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of The Slop here on Robin's Podcast. Those are our friends over at Ship. Of course, Mary, so many great Big Brother showmances are born, not to mention friendships as well. So Ship, let me tell you about how Ship works, okay? Now, I have been with the First Lady of Podcasting for so many years, 17 years and counting. So I don't have a lot of experience on the dating app, but now finally with Ship, I can get on a dating app, Mary, because with Ship, here's what you do. I invite my single friends, or my single friends invite me to be in their crew, and then we're all swiping together.
Yes, so you're advising Davon to swipe a certain way on David?
Yes, swipe right. Mary, you could be on Ship, and I could be in your crew telling you, not this one, not this one, nope, nope, bingo.
Perfect, that's right. Just pick out whichever person I can put a tattoo of their ex on their back.
Yes. Well, your podcast co-host, Kirsten McInnes, I used to be in her crew, and she had one rule, no pictures of guys holding up a fish.
Oh, yeah, that's a deal breaker.
I think that was a big Canadian dating profile pick trope. She said, no fish pics. But I said, okay, we kept going. So much fun. You get to have more fun with your friend, talk about what they like, what they don't like, talk to everybody in the crew, hear how those first dates go, hear how those second dates go. It brings the whole group closer together, and that is all part of being on Ship. It's so much fun. Date someone your friends already like. Download Ship, the app that lets you swipe with friends. That's Ship, S-H-I-P. Search for Ship Dating in the App Store and start swiping today. Get on the ship. And if you're on it, invite me to your crew. Okay. Everybody wants me to weigh in on who they should date or not. Okay. All right. We're so excited to have here with us to talk about Big Brother. She is a Big Brother fan, in addition to being a Survivor legend. Here she is, the three-timer, the great Kelly Wentworth is here. Kelly, how are you?
Hi.
Kelly, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm so happy to have you here with Mary and I here on The Slop.
I'm so excited. And I think, was I just considered swell?
Yes.
That I heard Ryan say. So,
yes.
Well. Good. Yes. Very good.
Kelly, this is so nice to have you on here to talk about some Big Brother with us.
I'm so excited. Yeah, I love Big Brother. I don't know if people know that. Well, they obviously do now because my Twitter is like a Janelle Stan account. But I watch Big Brother forever. I love it.
Good. That I realized that you were a Big Brother fan way back when. I remember after I interviewed Raven, I remember you were one of the comments that really stood out in my mind that you you said that was a great interview.
Oh, I did? Okay. I'm always worried when you talk about past comments that I've made
you were a rabid Raven defender and really ripped me a new one. Why are you being so mean to Raven? Well, she's the puppet master.
Let's not talk about that.
Yes. Okay. All right. Kelly, first off, how is everything going?
It's good. Yeah, I can't believe it's already September. I hope that you are doing well. This is such a crazy time it's been. No Survivor this fall, so I don't know what I'm going to do. But yeah, I'm doing good.
Yeah, we're hanging in there. Thanks for asking. Yeah, be happy you don't have any kids in distance learning school.
I'm very happy.
Picnic. Yes.
I do not envy you. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Okay, Christmas should be happy. None of her star babies had to go to Zoom school.
That was the worst punishment, not for her, but for all of us, the viewers.
Yeah. Kelly, do you think that Survivor should adopt some of these punishments for the players? Would that improve the game?
For Survivor?
Yes.
No, we're already punished enough. We don't need any punishment.
It's so luxurious in the Big Brother house that's they have to make it worse by giving them punishments.
Yeah, I don't know. I've always said I feel like Survivor is the supreme show. I mean, there's always this debate between Survivor and Big Brother players. Like,
yes.
Oh, my dog is barking. I'm sorry. Which is harder? And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. I know Survivor's shorter, but mm-hmm. we don't have food. We don't have beds. Like, I'm sorry, but Survivor is much harder.
Do you ever get into a rivalry with the Big Brother players?
I have in the past.
Yes,
I'm
gonna feed you can get my dog. Yes, yes.
I'm gonna feed my dog. I feel like this always happens.
Here, we'll give you a minute. We'll give you a minute, Kelly. Here. Okay. All right. We'll come back to Kelly after she feeds her dog. Give us a thumbs up when you come back. Okay.
I thought it was just another wall yeller. So.
Yeah, we've had a wall yeller. We've had a star baby crying and a barking dog.
Oh, it's a lot. I don't know. Do you think they should give the Survivor players slop instead of rice? Would that help?
I think they would eat it.
Yeah, I think they would too. I think it'd be great. Mm-hmm. Probably be better than just the rice.
Yeah, I think that they would be happy to have it. That slop would be a reward on Survivor.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that would make the Big Brother players, you know, they don't even have a leg to stand on then.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Okay.
So, Kelly, you said you are a Janelle Stan account.
Yes.
Okay.
I love Janelle.
You are.
You might say I have a girl crush.
Girl crush on Janelle. Reached out to her? Because I know that she is a Survivor fan. She's been talking about Survivor on the live feeds.
I have not reached out to her directly, but I will tell you, when she was on the show, I saw a direct message from her, and I like almost had a panic attack. Like, obviously it wasn't her, but it was her real estate partner who was running her account. And I was like, I am screaming just to have a Janelle message in my inbox. So,
what did they say? Like, hey, just big fan. When you were on Survivor, this was from Janelle's real estate partner?
Yes, who was running her account while she was in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically said, I guess that back in the day, he and I had a Zoom call or something, you know, whatever. I don't know how that all worked out, but back during Second Chance. And he was like, hey, remember me? And I'm like, yeah, cool. But how's Janelle? Yeah.
Yeah.
Love her.
All right. So, Kelly, give us your thoughts on the season so far.
I mean, where do we even start? I feel like it's gone downhill fast. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. I try not to just say, like, oh, I don't like the season because my favorites are gone, because I feel like you can do that on any show. But I do just feel like there's a huge group that's all together. There's people that are on the fringe that are not in the big group. It's just like in Survivor Cambodia. Like, I'm having flashbacks when this huge group of 9 people was all saying they were working together. And I'm like, you can't all be on top. Like, someone is on the bottom. And so, of course, the player in me just wants that group of people to band together and go against that other side of the house. So it's just frustrating to watch when every week they're like, I have to do what the HOH wants. You know, we have to keep the peace. I'm like, screw the pace. I don't want the pace. I want old school All-Stars play. Like, I feel like I miss the days of old school. And I always think that old school is kind of above new school. And I'm a new school player, but I just feel like it's so different now. And people have said it, like, people go on to get the followers, the fame, whatever, attention. And like, old school is like, screw that. I don't care. I just want to play. So
yeah,
I don't know. This season's been okay. I canceled my CBS All Access. It's done.
Oh, wow. That's your Ryan said that too.
I'm done. Yeah, it's not worth it. They're not getting my $6.
Kelly, does that upset you that they charge you for CBS All Access? Shouldn't you get it for life?
I think I've gone through enough pain and torture that I should get it for life. But do you get it, Rob?
No, I pay for it.
Okay. Okay, yeah. After everything you've brought to
and
them,
I podcast
all the
shows, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. If anyone should get it, it's you.
Yes,
so,
thank
yeah.
you.
They don't hand
that.
Out freebies at CBS, no.
No, not too often. Not
it's
too
not
often.
Like those Disney Channel stars who get to go to the parks for free. You guys, you need to put that in your contract.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
I got a backpack a couple of years ago.
Wow. A backpack?
Yeah.
With what? A logo on it?
Yeah. Yeah, it was sort of a, it's called the dry bag.
Oh, I like those, like if you're paddleboarding
yeah.
or something.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess the.
Oh. So you know. But did it have like a Survivor logo?
Yeah,
or a
I think
CBS
so.
Logo?
I think so. I think it was maybe like the 30th season reward. I don't remember exactly.
But can I say one thing about that
yes.
before I go back to Big Brother? I don't really like to go out in public and have things that like remind people I was on Survivor.
Yes.
Because I feel like it's just me trying to like get attention.
Right. If anything,
so although that was
yeah.
a nice gift, I don't know that I would use it.
So this is a different conversation, but I think it's that you people probably already come up and talk to you and you probably are like, okay, I'm not trying to have that conversation right now. Whereas there are people that people are not recognizing are putting this like are wearing like a buff and then also carrying like 8x10s and then
yes.
hoping somebody says, hey, are you that person from Survivor? Like, yes, I am. Like, hold on, let me get on Instagram. And film this right now.
That's so terrible. We won't name names.
Okay, we
on
won't
this
name,
podcast.
But some people. There are some people like that. Okay. All right. So you tweeted that you were hoping that you can have Kaser as a therapist outside of the house. Mm-hmm. That do you feel like that he would be able to talk to you about anything that was bothering you?
I feel like he is just so fascinating to listen to. I feel like we don't get those type of conversations that he has in the house with a lot of people that are now cast on the show. And I'm not trying to say anything bad about kind of these new school players that are cast, but mm-hmm. I do feel like in the past few seasons, you know, it's a lot about like really attractive younger people and it's kind of superficial. And so I just really enjoy hearing the conversations of like about life and talking to Ian about like his autism. And I have someone in my life who is autistic. And so I just thought that was really cool and special, and talking about important issues that are happening today and just the way that he speaks to people. I just think it's super, it's just super interesting and nice. And we just don't really get that perspective on the show a lot. So that's why I tweeted that. So yes, maybe, you know, we can get like a group chat going with a therapy mm-hmm. session. I would pay. Like, I would throw in some dollars here. Like, let's get something.
How much would
going.
You pay to have a 30-minute consultation with Kaser?
I don't know. $100.
$100?
Yeah. Okay.
Mary, what would you pay?
Yeah, probably like $100. I mean, I don't know if I could get Janelle and Kaser and I could just sort of have them both talking. That would be even, I feel like that's the way to market it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want both sides of I want his insight and then her just making some kind of quip about, you know, Cotton Eye Joe.
Yeah. I saw you also tweeted about Janelle could literally burn my house down and she would still be invited to my wedding. Do you mm-hmm. think that Nicole Franzl was being very petty when she said that Janelle could just doesn't have to come anymore?
Well, listen, that was me taking a dig at someone without being a total asshole. Excuse mm-hmm. my language. So
yeah.
I just think it was super petty and super silly. Like, and I think one thing that bothered me is watching some of the live feeds and then the way that the show kind of portrayed Janelle being the bad guy in the situation.
Yeah.
I just didn't see it that way. Like, I don't know, maybe because I do love Janelle so much, but I was like, I feel like Nicole was being super petty. And even with the Bailey thing that happened with like the comment about the two guys or something, I don't know.
A couple of tries and a couple of guys. Yes.
But that's not what she said exactly.
Yeah.
That's
no, but
not
it's
what
great.
She said.
I'd say make a t-shirt. I think that'd be great. Lean into it, you know?
Like,
just accept that as your branding.
Right. And then a tweet surfaced that she had posted about like the other guy she had gone through to get to Victor or something.
Wow.
Was that
Kelly,
real?
You are so down the rabbit hole on this stuff. Like, I thought that you were kind of like a casual, but you're that. So I kind of skipped over that. You said you were canceling your Alexa. So you're watching the feeds. You're on top of everything.
Since last week, I've not been because I just feel like, what's the point? Like, I feel like Janelle was campaigning so hard. She was doing a really great job. Anyone should have done that. And she
yeah.
still went home. Like, there was nothing she could have done. Like, Kaser this week, there's nothing he can do. So, like, what's the point? Like, what am I watching for? Just interesting clips, which people will just put on Twitter. So,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. Take your life back.
And my life is back. I feel free.
You're free. You know, Kelly, I wanted to ask you a little bit about, you know, we had this unique situation where the Big Brother All-Stars, they knew they were going back and playing, and then there were all these rumors about, like, pre-gaming and stuff like that. Was that bringing back any sort of flashbacks to when you went to go play in Second Chances in terms of the way that that was all unfolding in terms of the Big Brothers all talking before the season and the pre-gaming?
I've blocked that out of my memory.
Yeah.
Well, listen, what I will say, anytime you have returning players, there's going to be pre-gaming.
Yes.
Like, I know that I've seen some fans saying that that's not fair and they're mad about it. And, I, you know, whatever of Derek and Dan being involved or whatever it is, right? Again, sorry, yes, I have gone down the rabbit hole many a time. It's just like you can't control that. So you either lean into it and you pre-game or you choose not to. And sometimes it works out in your favor and sometimes it doesn't. It's just one of those things. I think for me, I wish there had been more old school players.
Yes.
Because that would have been, it would just been equal, kind of like in the past Survivor season with season 40. Like, I was like, I don't want to see Ethan go. I don't want to see Boss and Rob go. I don't want to see all these people back to back, Danny, like Amber. And that's kind of what happened this season. And it's just one of those things when you have more new school or more old school, whatever, it's just natural that. Those people are probably going to band together and last longer. So,
yeah, should they make an effort on these shows to have it be 50-50? If you're going to have the narrative of let's see what's better, old school or new school, then at least it needs to be an even playing field.
I think so, especially with a big name like Janelle. Like, it, like she's going to be targeted immediately. And if she doesn't have other people to work with right away, whereas some of these other people did, then that's just going to be easy for people to kind of jump on a bandwagon and be like, oh, she's played 4 times. She's really good. Let's get her out.
Kelly, would you say, though, that going through that experience with Second Chances and then seeing what this Big Brother preseason was like, that are the survivors less messy with the pre-gaming?
Maybe we're just better at keeping secrets.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there was definitely a lot of pre-gaming and Second Chance. Like, yeah. It was insane.
But I feel like that not every single fan of the show knew about all the pre-gaming that was going on.
No, not until that little video came out and Jeff Varner revealed that he had had a conversation with every single person.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So, I have some questions also for you from the listeners of Rob is a Podcast.
I'm excited.
Okay. Let's see. Here is a question from Ivan. Which Big Brother player does Kelly think is most similar to your gameplay? Is it Janelle?
Oh, gosh. That's so hard because Big Brother and Survivor are so different. So, I mean, I would love to say it's like Janelle. I don't know that that's the case. I definitely know it's not Nicole Franzel.
Yes.
Let's see. I don't know. That's so tough because they're just such different games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just feel like Survivor is so quick.
Yes.
I just don't know that you could compare yourself to another player.
Okay, how about this? Now that Kacer is potentially out of the game, Janelle is gone, who do you root for now?
Well, I've always really liked Ian.
Yes.
So it's broken my heart a little bit this season to see that he has been so tight with Nicole and then in turn been with the other side of the house. I was like really hoping at one point that he would team up with Davon, Bailey, you know, that whole side when that whole stuff was going on with Nicole A. Like, I was really hoping that group would band together. So I'm still an Ian fan. I'm always going to be an Ian fan. I still feel like him beating Dan was, like, so epic, and that entire season was I really enjoyed.
Yeah.
So I think Ian, I do also really like Bailey. I will tell you that I was always kind of neutral on Bailey, and I think just her and Swaggy and kind of like how out there they are. Sometimes I'm like, what are these two doing? Like, yeah. I don't understand. So like to see her kind of by herself in the house and doing well and just the way that she, you know, carries herself and talks to people and her personality, I'm just like really impressed with her and I like her a lot. So I'm a Bailey fan too.
Okay. Tell me about, how do you feel about Tyler?
Okay. So here's the thing. I don't want to say anything mean because I don't want to be blocked from your podcast because I do remember something happening.
Yes, yes. Well, you wouldn't be blocked from the Improv as a Podcast.
I might be canceled by other people. I don't mind Tyler. I guess my thing is that I just still don't like people going with the majority all the time. Mm-hmm. It's just so frustrating. And I think last week when Tyler was saying, like, maybe getting rid of Janelle is not the best move for me because she's a big target. I'm a big target. But then he's like, I have to do what the house wants. I was just like wanting to pull my hair out. I'm like, yeah. No. And I get it from a like gameplay. I understand. But like, I'm going to be on team whoever makes a big move.
Yeah. Well, so, I do think, Kelly, I think that Tyler might be the best hope for that to happen.
Maybe. I've seen some stuff going on Twitter the past few hours. Something's going on, right, with him and Cody and Enzo and Danny.
Mary, do you have any insight?
Yeah, he might be the best hope for a revolution here. I mean, Tyler at least...
We'll stan him.
Yeah, sure. He's a... Well, he...
A little far.
Kelly, if he saves the season...
Okay, if he saves the season, if he saves it.
Yeah.
If he starts working with Ian and Bailey, that'd be great. Yeah. He needs to, he is at least awake to the fact that he is, that he has better options out there and that he needs to get rid of some of these people mm-hmm. in his group. So.
Yeah. Kelly, he's our only hope because the other side of the house, they don't even know that they're the other side of the house. They're a mess. They're completely snowed by the Cody, Memphis, Enzo group. And at least Tyler knows where all the bodies are buried. He doesn't necessarily love those guys. And if he has a shot, maybe he'll take it. And who knows, maybe if it's like before the jury, he's like, hey, maybe if I go home, I'll just get to go leave this house and get out of here if it doesn't work out. But at least like I'll have sort of like upset the power in some way. So I do think that he is the best chance of leading a revolution.
Help me, Tyler.
Great.
Finn, you're my only hope.
Yeah.
I'm just sad that he didn't come to this realization fully last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right. See, a little upset.
Like last season he played that he was sort of like part of it in charge of like stomping out the resistance. But now like he could lead it. He could be a hero.
He could lead it. I mean, his odds of winning HOH are very high the way things have gone so far. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, the HOHs have been not great so far.
Not for the ladies.
Yes. Who do you think is the most likely woman to win an HOH?
It depends what it is. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just don't know why so far it's literally been all guys. Mm-hmm. It's kind of annoying.
Yeah, it hasn't been great. Yeah. What about Danny Donato? How do you feel about her? All right, sorry, Danny Briones.
Danny. Well, I feel like it seems like she's been a little bit catty.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a bit mean girl-ish. And we all can be that way at times. It's fine.
Same.
sure. Mm-hmm. We've all been there.
Yeah.
Usually better excuse when you're starving, but anyway, like she's fine. I don't know. I thought she was in a decent spot, but I think she's just done too much.
Yeah.
I think she's done too much. Obviously it's kind of blowing up now.
Yeah. She's definitely overplayed the beginning a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have to imagine though that you liked her in Big Brother 13, right? I mean, she was like the underdog in that house.
Is that the one she was with her dad?
No, that was, well, in the beginning she was with her dad and then he left.
Okay. Whichever season where she and her dad were at the end?
Yes. That Big Brother 8.
Mm-hmm. I did like that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cindy Boland wants to know, if you were going to go on All-Star Reality Amazing Race, would your partner be Lauren or somebody else?
Oh, Lauren.
Okay.
Yeah, Lauren, hands down.
Yes, and how would you both get along on the race?
Oh, we'd probably yell at each other all the time, but it would be with love. Like, mm-hmm. we're both insanely competitive, so yeah, it would be great.
Yeah.
I think it'd be good, too.
Kelly, did they call you about the Reality Star Amazing Race, or were you involved with going back on Survivor at that point?
I was unfortunately involved with going back on Survivor at that point.
So
yeah,
that I had received a phone call about that, but I had been invited to this Reality Star wedding of Stephen Fishback, and they had according to Stephen, they called him, and he called me and was like, "Hey, would you want to do the Amazing Race?" I was like, "Wait, what?" And he's like, "But okay, but I'm getting married, so we can't do it." But they said they might do it in the fall. But then I think then after that, they never called him again.
Okay. So I think the real question here is, why didn't Stephen Fishback just postpone his wedding? I mean, priorities, you know?
Yeah. No, I don't think he ever thought of that.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Well, was there anyone on the race who was invited to Stephen's wedding who he might have then had to uninvite given things?
Great. That's a good question.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe if there were any survivors that might have gotten uninvited from Stephen's wedding after Second Chance. I don't know. I have to ask that. But yeah, this could have been us right in the middle of the whole Janelle and Brittany and Rachel Riley and Alyssa drama.
That would have been great.
Yeah, we could have been right in the middle of it. Did you follow that season of The Amazing Race?
Sort of.
Yeah.
A bit. Not too closely.
Yeah.
But where do you stand, Rob? Whose side do you take?
Of between what, Nicole and Janelle?
Yes.
You know, I would say that I don't know if Nicole Franzl really likes RHAP, and I feel like
that. Okay, so you can speak freely.
Yeah, I could speak freely. That I feel like that as a longtime friend of Brendan and Rachel, I feel like I would say that I have to come down on the Janelle and Rachel side of things. Although I would not say that I am heavily invested in that, and I would say that also Nicole at least gives us stuff to talk about on the podcast.
I'm sure she'd be so thrilled to hear that.
Yes. Yeah, well, she has a binder of stuff if you do talk about her, but
freaking A!
You know, at least she gives us a lot of fodder.
She does. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And she's a fellow podcaster also, Kelly. Have you been approached to be on Coco Caliente podcast?
No. Which is why she has been uninvited from any sort of social function that I have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even reached out to me.
I feel like she doesn't interview a lot of survivors.
Well, her loss.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Kelly, who do you think is going to win this season?
Oh, wow. This is a good question. I did think that Danny was looking very good, but I think now that's not the case. I think it will probably be someone like a Christmas. Yeah, because where is she gonna land? Like, if these two kind of big, like, let's say that you have Cody, Tyler, and Zoe, whatever, I don't even know who's together now, but let's say you have them, and then you have like the Baileys of the world, and then you have Nicole and Ian, and those two are going to be targeted. Like, where does Christmas fall into all this? Who is she a target for? Like, nobody.
What do you think of that, Mary?
I definitely think she's going far. I think I have a lot of fake money on her right now, so we'll see how that goes. But I would support that. I think we need to lean in to some of these middle players. Let's just say, yeah, Christmas, you know what? Might not be the most exciting, but if she wins, then my stock is going way up.
Okay, girl, I want to say, I didn't say that I support a Christmas win.
Yeah, that's what you think.
I'm just saying it could happen.
It could happen.
I think it could happen. I think no one came into this season thinking it could happen, but here we are.
Okay.
Here we are.
Kelly, Andrew Shim says, for Khaleesi Wentworth, if Big Brother had hidden immunity idols, how great would it be if Kacer magically found an idol right now? And who would be the Andrew Savage in this scenario?
Okay, I would love for this to happen.
Yes.
I do kind of wish they had something like this on Big Brother. I know they've had a lot of twists in the past, and they had the twist this season, which, I mean, kind of a flop overall.
Didn't really change the outcome, right?
Didn't really change much.
Yeah.
But I do wish they had something like Hidden Immunity Idols on Big Brother.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that would make it kind of fun, because it's the element of surprise, right? For the people in the game and for the viewer. Like, you don't know what's going to, I mean, you know that they have it, but you don't know if they're going to play it. People are blindsided. That's what makes it kind of fun. And this season has been super predictable, obviously. So, if that were to happen, let's see, who would be the Andrew Savage? Cody or Tyler, probably, right?
Yeah, I think probably Cody.
Probably Cody. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so how would this work? So it'd be basically like, would the audience vote on one person that they can, if they're on the block, they can cancel the eviction?
Oh my gosh, I would love
that.
I like when
the
audience is involved.
Yeah.
Because we're watching. It's not like Survivor where you can't be. Like Big Brother, the audience can be involved. So why not? Mm-hmm. On an all-star season, come on, give me something.
Yeah, I feel like that they've done this less than they did earlier in the show. What do you think of that, Mary? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, in the first several seasons, there was all kinds of America's votes, America's choice. We've talked about the food, but also people who get letters from home or maybe something that they could gain some sort of insight into the outside world. You know, voting for different players and gifts for them. I mean, even if you look at like last couple seasons that weren't necessarily great, I liked the idea of when you look at the whatever the one was where we got the zero stars and that kind of stuff.
Yes, the app store.
Right, the app store. One of my favorite parts was that you found out which people the audience liked but also really, really didn't like or was like met on. So I think that's great to have that kind of intermixed, you know. Maybe some people don't care, but we've talked before, I think these all-stars, you know, they want to have fans, they want to have support, and so if they were clued into the fact that maybe they're losing support, maybe they'd change their game.
Yeah, I think this is an interesting season where I feel like that the people like that are the hardcore fans and also the casual fans, I think, are uniquely aligned in like sending a power into the house, whereas like in a lot of seasons, like maybe like the power would go to like somebody who is like a less popular figure with the hardcore fans but more of like the front runner for the casuals, like a Big Jeff or something like that. But this is one of the seasons where the people at home and the people on Twitter are rooting for the same thing.
I think so.
Wouldn't be a bad time to do it.
It's not too late. They can introduce something. I don't think they will because they already would have, but it kind of seems like, like what's the point now?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
right.
Still a lot can happen.
Yeah.
But.
Okay. Let me give you this question. This is from the great Josh Creek, who says, Kelly, if you were to make a fourth appearance on Survivor, would you wonder if the other players on the beach would suffer from Kelly-cy? Could you run with that?
I don't know why I think that's funny. I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Janelle is like in her own special category. We'll just keep that for her.
Mary, did she brand that, or is that a Twitter thing?
No, she did not brand that. But I think that should be something that should be picked up and we can use forward. It's a great, you know, it's really a great motive. And I think that if Kelly, if you went back on Survivor, I could see that. I could see that happening.
Yeah,
you got a good. It's all about the branding, and you've got the name, and it fits. And
yeah. Mm-hmm. Kelly,
I'll think about it.
You've said that you're not super interested in more Survivor, but would you be interested in doing Big Brother?
No.
Okay, you've retired from all shows.
I just. Okay, I won't say I'm retired from all shows. I would be more interested in an Amazing Race or something like that.
What
I
about
just
the
think
challenge?
No.
Yeah. Okay, no. But the Amazing Race.
I would do the Amazing Race for sure. Yeah.
What about
Big
Tough
Brother?
As Nails?
I don't know.
I was going to say Tough as Nails.
As Nails?
I have it
What's
in.
The prize on that?
Not that much. It's only, I think.
Nah.
Yeah.
I would do The Circle.
The Circle.
Okay. That seems kind of fun. I would do,
obviously, or you would be yourself?
I think I would be a really bad catfish.
Yes.
But I could be myself but pretend to be me.
Okay. Kelly,
does that make sense?
You get to go on The Circle, but you have to play with Dale. You and Dale are in one room.
Are we playing as me or as Dale?
I think you're playing as Dale.
Oh boy.
And you have to.
That would be fine, because here's the thing, is that we could have conversations before we send. You know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't just be like, what's coming out of your mouth next? So I think that would actually work.
You got to make sure that that voice command is only attuned to your voice, though.
Right, that's the thing, because if I go to sleep or something and then all of a sudden Dale's still up and he gets some, you know, big idea and wants to say something, that could be bad. Yeah.
Does your dad watch Big Brother?
No,
he does not. What, he thinks it's too lowbrow?
It's just not quite Dale. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think he watches Tough as Nails, or he watches that show on Amazon, The World's Race or whatever
that
is.
The Eco Challenge.
He loves that. Yes. He loves that. Yeah. He loves Naked and Afraid.
Yes. So he really likes the survivor element.
The like really hardcore push yourself, you know.
Kelly, I don't know about you. That's my least favorite part about Survivor.
Which part?
The survival element.
I hate it.
Yeah, that's the
worst
part. So
I probably like Big Brother, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get a pool. Like, they complain they can't go outside for 2 days. I'm like, okay, I'll just sit in my bed all day.
Yeah. If I would have to rank the parts of Survivor, my favorite thing is I like that it's a TV show. My second favorite part, I guess, is the game. And then my least favorite part is that you have to live in the jungle.
Yeah, that part's not fun. I think anyone that says they want to go on it for the experience is in for a rude awakening once they're there for a couple of days.
Yeah. Kelly, what about Love Island? Have you watched that one?
Okay, I love Love Island.
You do?
I do.
Oh, okay.
So I was introduced to Love Island, the UK version.
Yes.
I don't know, maybe less than a year ago. I don't even know time now.
Who knows?
Nowadays, it just seems like a month is seven and seven is one. But a couple of friends introduced us to it, and we started watching on Hulu and really liked it. And then now my husband and I have watched every season, which is rather embarrassing because it's like 50 episodes a season.
Yeah.
We watched the US version last year, but I didn't really like it that much. And then this year it's been better. I think it's a good cast this year.
So far, so good.
So far, so good. Yeah.
Okay.
I love reality TV. It's embarrassing.
No, I could tell. I could tell.
Yeah.
Kelly, then what happens after Kacer leaves?
Let's see. Cody probably wins HOH. He probably doesn't have the balls to put anybody up. So it'll probably be Kevin and Bailey, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. That's how it feels.
Yeah. So you are very pessimistic. See, I think that this is right where we should all be as Big Brother fans, because I think that everyone's like, season's over, cancel your live feeds. And if anything happens, then it'll be, everyone will go nuts.
That's what I mean is, like, I'm just expecting the worst at this point, and then I can be pleasantly surprised if something big happens.
Yeah.
You know?
Mary, do they have us right where they want us?
Look, this is how I live my life, especially in the time of COVID. Like, the bar is so low, so you just have to do the bare minimum to impress me right now. And it's, you know, yeah, throw in a twist, throw in bring something back, like that food vote in for the sausage and sauerkraut or whatever.
America's choice on the food.
Yeah, I think that'd be fine.
Yeah. Kelly, so I'm wondering, okay, they brought back Janelle and Kacer, and they went out. And I sort of wonder this about Survivor also with season 40 and the way that the old school players, where it was probably, this is probably it for Boston Rob and Parvati and Sandra, and sort of like, okay, I think that we kind of like closed the chapter of the book on old school Survivor in season 40. Do you think that we have closed the book here in Big Brother All-Stars on old school Big Brother?
Yeah, I do actually, because I feel like we didn't get a lot of the old school players that I feel like are all-stars to me. Mm-hmm. So I've watched Big Brother for a super long time. Like, Dan's funeral is one of my favorite scenes of all time. I loved I don't remember who the guy was, like, yelling at Rachel Riley in the backyard that one
Reagan.
Time.
Yeah.
Reagan, like, that just, like, epic moments, or even some with, like, Evil Dick, like, just, you know what I mean? And now people have been posting on Twitter the Tyler didn't whatever about
yes,
calling
Tyler
old school
didn't.
Boring. I'm like dying at all the memories watching them. But I do think if this season we weren't going to get the Dans of the world or the Dr. Wills of the world, whoever, right? Like just those super, super big names. I mean, why would they come back again in the future? This is an all-star season. Like, I just think it's probably the end of old school.
I
personally.
So too. But then I think, like, what if they did, like, a three-week season that was, like, the Big Brother Celebrity? Could they do one
then
that's, like,
maybe.
Legends? Yeah.
But I do feel like there has to be incentive for all those people to do it. So I think that, you'd have to shorten the time. It would have to be, like, they all would have to be paid, which I don't know if they were this season. I've heard the rumblings.
So I think they got $40,000 to come back. That's what the rumor is.
That's not enough for some people.
Mm-hmm. You think that they could have gotten more people if they would have paid more money?
Yeah. I think so.
What do you think, Mary?
I honestly think that the shortening the time might even be a better incentive than the money. Or some sort of you can contact your family with supervision that might have helped a lot of people. I think those are the bigger reasons you find for people not wanting to come back. I mean,
yeah, I think well, they do a short version.
Survivor, if you're listening.
If Survivor wanted to get Kelly Wentworth back, they would need to put up more money. Yeah. Okay, that would be good. Okay. In the chat, if you have questions for Kelly Wentworth, go ahead and shoot us your questions here with the great Kelly Wentworth. Kelly, do you think will there be another Survivor season at any point?
I think they would want to do another Survivor season. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. I mean, although it did make sense in my mind if Survivor ever were going to end, season 40, all winners, $2 million prize, everyone's family comes out.
Yeah, this was it.
Seems like the season to end on.
Okay.
Tony won. Who would have thought we would have lived in a world where Tony won twice?
Mm-hmm.
Look, we have to hope and pray for the Wild Wild West Survivor. I just want that. I don't even need Survivor on an island anymore.
Yeah.
Survivor, Hawaii, it's fine.
Yeah, don't get me started, Kelly, that I feel like that Big Brother, Love Island, they all Bachelor, they all figured out a way to, film a season.
I know.
Survivor, they're like, nope, we gotta do it exactly the same way that we always do it. That's it.
I know. But I did wonder, let's say they did
wait
decide
out
to move
the pandemic.
Forward. Were they like what would the challenges be? They're gonna be at like a Four Seasons hotel, like in the pool,
swimming to the other side. Survivor Wild Wild West that they could have done, like got like a dude ranch somewhere that Dale could have helped build the challenges, set it all up.
Oh my god,
that would have been great.
Where are they going to do the water challenges?
They don't have water challenges this season.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe
have there been
maybe there's a river,
the water
maybe there's
challenges?
A river or a lake.
Yeah, they have to pan for gold.
Pan for gold, yeah. These would all be great.
That would be a cool logo. I would definitely buy that buff.
Yeah, Old West would be.
I mean, you know that you're winning a reward where you get to go on like a horseback ride and eat some beans around the campfire.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
think
about it.
Interesting. Well, I don't think that they listened to your recommendations.
Not yet.
Or,
yeah, I don't think so. Yeah. The window might be closed on that.
It might be done.
Yes. Kelly, do you have any friends that are Big Brother players? Are you tight with any Big Brother people?
Let's see. I've met some Big Brother people. This is kind of an embarrassing story, not really, but before I was on Survivor, one of my old roommates and I watched Survivor, and it was the season that Hayden.
Yes.
And who was his little sidekick?
Caleb and Sierra.
No, not Survivor, Big Brother.
Oh.
Lane? Brittany?
Lane!
Yes.
So we were in Seattle. My roommate and I were in Seattle, and we went to this bar, and Hayden and Lane were sitting at a booth. Mm-hmm. And we were like, oh my God, Big Brother, please. And we went over and said hi, and it was really embarrassing. Well, then I went to a charity event, and I met Spencer Clausen,
yes,
I believe.
Big Brother, Big Brother 15.
And I was like,
yes.
Oh my God, do you remember when my roommate and I said hi to you in Seattle? And he was like, no. And I'm like, yeah, you were there with Hayden. He's like, no, I wasn't. I'm like, yes, you were. Like, I can't believe you don't remember this. And then he's like, yeah, you're literally incorrect. So that was kind of embarrassing. So I have met some Survivor players, maybe not made the best impression. I've met Andy, yes. Hung out with him.
Yes.
He's super fun, so crazy. I love him. He's great. I've actually met Nicole Franzel before.
Didn't go great.
Well, I wasn't invited on the podcast. So. Mm-hmm.
Or the wedding. Yeah.
Or the wedding. Yeah. It was actually during the Candy Crush filming.
Oh, then she was on Candy Crush?
No, she was just there at the restaurant.
Oh, she called the producers because she was mad she wasn't on Candy Crush.
I think that's what happened. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I actually don't know why she was there. She was there with Caleb.
Yes, and Kelly, you were the winner of Candy Crush, right?
Yeah, I know. A lot of people don't remember that, but...
R.I.P.
That lasted all of 2 episodes. You could just tell when we were on the set for that,
yeah,
that Mario Lopez was like, I felt like he felt like that was the end of his career.
Yeah. was it Paul and Dave Vaughn were there too?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, because they were so confused of how he was on Big Brother at the same time.
And Frankie Grande.
I was here. Frankie Grande and Caleb.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Your team.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, this is where I'm talking about the Big Brother Survivor. People
crossover.
Saying that one's harder than the other.
Yeah. What was harder, Survivor or Candy Crush?
Survivor, obviously.
Okay. Right.
I made more on Candy Crush.
Yes.
Made more money in one day on Candy Crush than I did in however many days on Survivor. So.
I believe it.
And okay. We got meals.
All right. Let's just take one or two more quick questions. Okay. This is from Team Paul 17, your opponent on Candy Crush. Will Janelle ever be invited to do Survivor, and why will she win? So Janelle has said she wants to be on Survivor. She would be the first person to play all three of the CBS franchise reality shows. That do you think that they would invite her?
They would invite her, but girl, I'm telling you, don't do it.
She should not do it. Why?
Mm-mm. Because
she would lose, or it's painful.
Painful.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Wow.
She will not have her vampire face mask available.
Okay. Wow, I'm surprised that you are so down on telling Janelle to go play.
I mean, she should do it if she wants to, but I just think why?
Why? Wow.
To get that triple crown, gotta have all three.
True.
And then Mindy was said, did you meet Paul?
From Big Brother?
Yes.
Well, I think so.
Or he had to get back in the house quick enough.
Didn't I? Wasn't he on Candy Crush?
He was. Did you have any interaction with him?
I don't remember. Okay. Yeah, I did. I think we have a picture together.
No lasting impression, though.
Yeah, I'll have to dig that up. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I think so.
There you go.
Oh! Friendship.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Kelly, well, thank you for coming and chatting some Big Brother with us. I really appreciate it. I know that you know, you don't do a lot of podcast interviews, and so I appreciate it anytime you come out and talk to us.
I'm glad you had me, and I'm sorry that I didn't give a lot of insight on strategy or anything, but it's more fun for
what
me when I watch Big Brother.
Kelly, what strategy? What is there to talk about?
There's not, but it's more fun to just kind of be silly about people with Big Brother.
That's
because
what
the show
is
kind of silly.
Yeah. All right, Kelly, where can people keep up with you?
Well, I was active on Twitter, but now I feel like I'm going back to not the Twitter thing.
Just Cameo?
Yeah, Cameo. I'm doing the Zoom things, but not... not the shout outs because I don't know why
they didn't invite me to the Zoom thing.
Well, that's because I asked.
Oh, you asked. I'm like, maybe I would do the Zoom thing.
You should just send a message, because they've asked me so many times, like, Kelly, do you want to do the shout outs? And I just got to the point where I was ignoring their messages, which sounds terrible.
Is it rude if I ask how much is it to do a Zoom call with you? This was a freebie for us today, right?
This is free.
Okay.
Well, I'll bill you
later. You'll bill me later.
But,
okay. Yeah.
they set it at $125 for 10 minutes. Yeah, but I will tell you that I don't know if I should be saying this, but it always goes.
It goes
over
long.
10 minutes.
Yeah, it goes long. What are you going to be like? All right, time's tick tock, everybody.
It's like the nice, like, hey, how are you? What's your name? And then all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, sorry. Like, you know, come on, I'm nicer than that,
yeah.
Rob.
Yes, I have a friend of mine who does it, and he says that the thing, the link should just explode in 10 minutes, and then you that's how it should be. Like, there should be a countdown on the screen, and then it.
So he told you about that?
Yes, that's what he said. That's what he said. It should, how it should be. Okay.
I mean, that would be kind of funny, but I do think 10 minutes is just not enough time.
Not enough time.
I don't know. But anyway, yeah, that's it. So okay. I don't do the shout-outs because I feel like I'm so bad at them. Some people are great, and I'm just awkward.
Yeah. I end up breaking out. I have a bunch of puppets here, and I do stuff. Dude, Kelly, you need to go put on a sunblock. You're getting too much sun, dude. Yeah.
I sit here, and I'm like, ooh, I've got my matcha. Happy birthday, Sarah. It's, like, so bad.
Okay. All right. Well, Kelly, thank you so much. Follow Kelly on Twitter. She doesn't have that many Big Brother takes anymore now that Kayser and Janelle are gone. But just give her the follow. Come on.
If it heats up,
she'll be back.
Maybe I'll have some hot takes.
Yes.
But know that I am creeping. Like, I follow everything.
She's
I'm
following.
Just not.
And if good stuff happens on the live feed, send it to her. Tag her.
Yeah, tag me if something good happens. Like the wall yeller yesterday. So good.
You like that? That was you or no?
Yeah. No.
Okay. All right.
But I would have done it.
What would you have yelled?
I don't know. But I also probably would have been banned from CBS
forever. Dude, this season is getting lame. Yeah.
Dude, you're all lame.
Yeah.
Make a move.
Reem would be the best wall yeller. All right. Kelly, thank you so much, okay?
Bye, guys. See you later.
Right, take care. All right. Mary, I know that our time together is ending as well. Not the show, but I know that you have to run as well. Yes. Mary, this was so fun to get to catch up.
It was great. You know, I'm just making the rounds. I'm here for that last minute guest.
Yes, I appreciate it. I appreciate that. A peek behind the curtain.
Yes.
But Mary, where can people keep up with you, Frail Mary?
Oh, all over the place. Frail Mary. Sure. I'm on Twitter. I've been slower on the Big Brother stuff right now because I just feel like it's in my head at all times and everyone's quicker to the funny jokes than I am. So I'm working on it. You know, I'm working on that. But yeah, you can follow me anywhere there and check out Kowski Cast if you somehow run out of podcasts, which is impossible.
Don't say it like that.
Check it out, and you know, it's look, there were vampire facials on yes. Big Brother, and we're talking about vampires on Kowski Cast, so
you're
it's
talking
all
about Twilight. Yes.
yeah definitely. Okay. We now know that Rob is an Edward, so
yes. Mary, will you go on the CBS Big Brother Instagram account and reply to every message that Mr. Spectacular leaves? Will that
I'll
be your new
that.
Thing?
Yeah. I'll do that. That'll be my new thing. And then you can, on next week's slop, you can play, you know.
I wish that was Mary's comment.
Mary had a little comment. Which mm-hmm. one was it?
Yes. Right. It'll be just like if Kayser won the safety suite all over again. We'll remix the song. It'll be wonderful. All right. Well, Mary, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break, okay? And then this is what we're going to do. We're going to come back with Kevin and Nigel. We're going to have a lot of fun. And we're going to take your calls. You can call into the show at robasawebsite.com/call-RHAP. All right? So we're going to take a break. We'll post the link in the chat. robhasawebsite.com/call-RHAP. Tell us what you want to talk about. And we'll take your calls here with Kevin and Nigel. And don't be shy also. robhasawebsite.com/call-RHAP. I'm going to take a quick break. Your boy drinks several cups of coffee to get ready for these shows. Okay. We will come back in a couple of minutes, about 3 minutes. Don't go anywhere. Back to take your calls. robhasawebsite.com/call-RHAP. We'll get you in the StreamYard link and take a couple of calls with you here today on the slop. We will be right back.
Hi, I'm Kirsten McInnes, host of the Love Island Recaps over on Reality TV Rehab-Ups. Whether you're single or coupled up, Love Island has something for everyone. If you are looking for a show that doesn't take itself too seriously and a podcast that takes it even less seriously, then Brian Scalley and I have the perfect twice-weekly recaps for you. Join us as we break down all the red flags and hot messes that happened this summer on Love Island on the Reality TV Rehab-Ups feed.
And we're back here with the slop. Kevin and Nigel are going to join us, and we're going to take your calls here today. Go to robhaswebsite.com/call RHAP. All right. Also, in the meantime, we're waiting for Kevin and Nigel to get set up. We can take your questions as well here in the chat if you want. All right. Let's see. What else do we have to talk about here today? I got a question about which BuzzFeed quiz, which Big Brother house guest are you? Why don't we go ahead and we could do that real quick. Let's take that quiz. And I'll be joined by Kevin and Nigel for that. Okay. Kevin and Nigel are here back. Kevin and Nigel, how are you?
Great, good, excited to be here.
Okay, all right. Kevin and Nigel, excited. I know you, it's been a day of lots of tech issues, so don't worry about that. Kevin and Nigel, very exciting for me. First time I'm getting to podcast with you both. I've heard you on the B&B, but happy to talk about some Big Brother with you both. Could you tell the audience a little bit about yourselves?
Sure. So this is Nigel. I am 28 years old. I'm originally from San Francisco, California, but I'm now based in Washington, D.C. One day in college, I was really bored and went on demand and stumbled upon Survivor Kageyan. And I have been absolutely sucked into reality TV ever since then.
Okay.
And I'm Kevin. So I'm the one that's not Nigel, for anyone that may be confused.
You're not both Nigel.
No, we're not both Nigel, though our couple name is Nigel with a K, but it's silent, in case anyone was curious about the handle here. I lived in Washington, D.C. for several years. I work as a statistician as my day job, but I've loved Survivor and Big Brother for years. And we met each other at the Survivor Ghost Island finale watch party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so something good actually happened from that season. So that's really what we hold our hat on.
I've heard this story before. You guys are too hard on Ghost Island. There's been like, three seasons worse than Ghost Island since then. Come on.
Yeah, but you know what? Because Ghost Island wasn't that exciting, at least enough, it was just we had a lot of time to talk to each other. And so, you know, we have fond memories of it compared to most people, I think, overall.
Okay. All right. great meeting story. Almost as good as meeting on ship. Okay, but thank you both for being here. Do you guys want to help me with a BuzzFeed quiz before we get into taking some questions?
Absolutely. Okay. Let's do this.
All right. I feel like that having a statistician here, I don't know why I can't say that word, is going to be very useful for this. All right. So this is a BuzzFeed quiz. This was sent in by Quarant Animal Primal. Lone Ranger 158 on Twitter sends in this BuzzFeed quiz. Which Big Brother All-Stars house guest are you? Okay. All right. How would your friends describe you? All right. Kevin and Nigel, as my friends, good listener, hot, smart, kind, funny, or competitive. I don't know how many of my friends are going to describe me as hot.
Yeah. Would the friend that described you as hot get booked more often? Because we'll say
yes.
Hot right now.
Yes. Yeah. Smart or kind. I guess if you could be smart or kind, be kind.
we know how Julie's answering.
Yeah. What would you say? Probably funny, right?
Yeah, very funny.
Yeah, I would say so.
Pick a song for your HOH playlist. Laugh Now, Cry Later by Drake.
That feels like this season, to be honest.
WAP by Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion. That's usually the song that probably I would have on my HOH playlist. Watermelon Sugar by Harry Styles. My Future by Billie Eilish. Or Blinding Lights by The Weeknd. Or Rockstar by DaBaby.
So, you know, Rockstar and Brett had that really big blow up. So I think that we should be inspired by Rockstar here.
Yeah.
Real cute.
All right.
Real hot. That's the angle.
That's what they'll be saying.
I was going to go with Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion, but okay. All right. We went with DaBaby. All right. Choose a room to talk game in. All right. Bathroom, HOH room, living room, backyard, the lounge, or the kitchen?
A basement was on here. You know, we've gotten a lot of bathroom content recently between Nicole and Danny and the bidet. Yeah. So that really seems like where things are centered right now.
Okay. All right. Bathroom it is. Okay. Pick a former house guest to have a showmance with. Oh, boy.
This is fun.
Yeah. Natalie Negrotti, Haley, Zach Rantz, Jessica Graff, Fessy, or Hayden Moss?
I think the way you answer this is, who do you have the best podcast chemistry with, or who do you have the best memory with interacting with previously?
Yeah, so not Jessica Graff.
That's the X's twist.
I guess Hayden Moss. I think he's probably been the person I've podcast with the most out of this group.
And Rob, here's the follow-up. Which one of them is going to be the best partner for your game?
Yeah, that's a good call. Okay, so much Hayden Not Moss that. Talk on this episode of the podcast. All right, we'll go with Hayden Moss. Okay, pick a TV show to binge after you get out of the house. It's Always Sunny, Outer Banks, Euphoria, Avatar The Last Airbender, The Office, or Umbrella Academy.
I think it's going to depend on what was your Big Brother experience. Honestly, being locked in the house all summer, The Office is a little bit of like the mundaneness of the regular world. So I don't think it should be The Office. Mm-hmm. If you need a comedy, I think it's Always Sunny. Avatar The Last Airbender is about a genocide, which is what the season feels like sometimes.
Yes. I would want to listen to the new post-show recap. So I think I would do Avatar The Last Airbender. Okay. Favorite BB comp, Hide and Go Veto, What the Bleep, Slippery Slope, The Wall, and Otev BB Comics.
What is your favorite? What's Rob's favorite here?
What the Bleep always makes me laugh.
You know, What the Bleep, it always feels a little bit lowbrow, but I think it's the one that I enjoy consistently, you know?
Let's see. Okay. All right. What's in your HOH basket? Pringles, Oreos. How many questions are in this? Okay. Pringles, Oreos, Kit Kat, Twizzlers, Pop-Tarts, Sour Patch Kids.
You know, if this was Kevin's HOH basket, it would be every item on this list. But what would be in Rob's basket? Like salty or sweet or sour?
Sweet. I think I would probably go with a Kit Kat out of all these.
And, you know, if you went with the Oreos, you could end up overeating. So Kit Kat is probably the best choice.
Yeah, I'd go with the Kit Kat. And then I could say, are all you snacks conspiring against me? Okay. Finally, who's your favorite Big Brother winner? Oh, I'm on the spot here. Derek, Steve, KC, of all people.
Let's go.
Rachel, Dan, and Jordan. Okay, boy.
Who do you have the most sound bites of? Who do you have the most? And that's the person you should pick. That'll tell you everything.
I think that, I think that it's KC Clark with one is the person that is leading. Rachel played before the soundboard era.
Yeah, I think that's the issue a number of these winners are falling into. And Steve's a loser based on your own words.
Yes, that's
so
true.
I don't think you can please Steve.
Yes, okay. Well, we want to try to get Rachel on the podcast soon. So let's go with Rachel.
So there you go.
Oh, I'm Danny Donato.
Oh, look at that.
Yes, okay. Maybe not great right now. All right. You wear your heart on your sleeve. You're quiet and like to join everything you do strategically. So there you go. There's a BuzzFeed quiz.
You know, Rob, I would describe someone who does 40 podcasts a week as quiet. That does make sense to me.
Sure. And I could post this to my profile, but I'll probably abstain right now. Okay. All right. All right. Kevin and Nigel, you ready to help me take some calls here today?
Yes, absolutely.
Real quick, how are you two feeling about the season?
You know, I think like everybody, we are digging in and waiting for things to really heat up is maybe the most optimistic way of describing it.
And maybe we think it's going to be good. We have a theory that that the season will get better if Dani's roots start showing more, because I think she's always better with darker hair than with blonde hair, as BB13 has shown us. So we're really hoping that's going to be the thing that changes the season.
How many weeks do you think that will take?
Well, so you know how we've been discussing a little bit of the wall yeller or wall shouter recently? I think that we actually need someone who's going to be dropping black hair dye into the backyard. You could like hook it up to a drone, drop it in there. All of a sudden, Dani's going to want to shake things up again. That's really
maybe
what we're
we
hoping.
Can get Glenn from BB18 to work on that. Okay. All right. Let's take a question from Guillaume is on the line. Okay. Let's say hello to Guillaume. Guillaume, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing fantastic. You're here with Kevin and Nigel to talk BB on the slop.
Yeah, that's great. So I came in. I wanted to ask you. I haven't heard you talk about it, but have you had the chance to check out Daniel Reyes and Jason Guy's new podcast?
I have seen it. I've seen they've gotten some great guests. I have not checked it out yet.
Yeah, they've had Amy Cruz, James Ryan, Rachel Swindler.
Yes.
They've had the interviews too, so... So yeah, you should definitely check it out. I think it's a bit raw. I think, you know, like they're not used to doing a podcast. You know, Jason has the media experience. So he's getting, you know, to learn about the experience.
Yes, but it's called The Secret Alliance.
Yes. But I mean it's two legends talking about Big Brother, right?
And not so a secret anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll check that out. So Guillaume, do you have a question?
No, that was my question. If you had a chance to watch it or not, and I would recommend it.
Okay, all right. I have to finish binging all of Coco Caliente. Okay, a few episodes behind, but no, I'm excited. Danielle and Jason, I'm hoping that we can get them on this podcast at some point in the near future. Yeah,
or you can guess on this podcast.
Yeah. Okay. Whatever. All right. Gim, thank you for the call. Okay.
But thank you for having me on. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
All right.
Good one.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Have you listened to the Secret Alliance podcast?
I started listening a little bit this morning, the James Ryan podcast, which was fun, where Daniel Reyes talked about how they snuck back into the All-Stars house, I think. Mm-hmm. I got busy studying for tonight's show. So it is back on the loop after this.
What do you study for this show?
Everyone's tweets and everything Taryn says. That's the rule book, I think.
Yeah, so you have like a lot of strategy takes.
I have a lot of strategy takes and a lot of personality differences with Taryn, and that's what I also study before coming on.
You study the your own personality differences than Taryn, or things that you've noticed that are different than what Taryn has noticed?
I think it's just highlighting how I can be different than Taryn, or how we have different takes than him, since he's like clearly one of the biggest voices on the network in general. So like, I know Nigel had heard recently that he tends not to be a big fan of the Star Babies, and we're very team Star Babies.
Oh, you like the Star Babies. Why?
I think that any punishment is a success if it brings out a little bit more personality from the person who receives the punishment. We were joking that in BB20, when Haley had to do the Shakespeare punishment, it was hilarious that all of these people view reading as a punishment, you know?
Yes.
But I think that the Star Babies are fun because I got to see a little bit more of Christmas's personality. Her joke about her birth control not working was the most I've enjoyed Christmas in her entire run on Big Brother so far. We're really hoping that, fingers crossed, the Star Babies can replace some of the actual All-Stars if the season keeps going this direction.
Yeah, I think so, there are 12 of them, and how many people are left in the house? I think it will be 12 after Kacer leaves, right?
It's perfect. And the Star Babies are making less mistakes than David right now. So really a good swab, I think.
Okay. Let's take Chris is on the line. Okay. And if you want to call in, robhasawebsite.com/call RHAP. All right. Here's Chris. Chris, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's happening, Chris?
So speaking of Star Babies, I wanted to ask about Devon's little pep talk that she gave to whichever name was given to that Star Baby. I thought it was very funny, mm-hmm. and it feels like it could be the inspiration for maybe a crossover for Davon. I thought maybe this would be time for her to transition to the nanny as a revival, potentially.
Yeah. So Davon, it would be a great person to have as a caretaker of children.
Children or stuffed animals, because sometimes the stuffed animals, they like fall over. They get like little gooey food all over them. And anytime they're like down and out, Davon could like pick them up and say, let me tell you something. You know, turn that frown upside down. Because mm-hmm. the way that she approached it was she just like comes up with all this like, you know, her smile and all her energy. And without missing a beat, she just picks up the star baby, just lays it down. And we get to see from her point of view, she's like giving all the pointers. And the whole time we get to see like the star baby's face and how like sad and upset it is. And it's like, we know what you're talking about, Davon. This is like the best example we can give. So, like, get your positivity out there.
You know, Chris, I think that the main takeaway here is that just more Davon on our screens is really the key here. I was waiting all week for them to show the Davon star baby scene because it's the best scene I've seen this season. She just has so much charisma where she gives this pep talk to a stuffed animal. Yeah, and her ability to, I think, to make a scene with an inanimate object, like the star baby.
She's an acting coach. Yeah.
Yeah, she's so good. She can make the star baby
anything, really.
She can make
it doesn't
David
have to always be right. All.
Yes. Do you think...
I'll take the advice.
Kevin and Nigel, do you think that maybe that her acting coaching is just like, hey, you can do this. You can get out there. You can be this person in this scene that you just have to believe in yourself.
So it's not actually acting tips. It's just pure motivation.
Maybe.
But you know what that means? That we can use Davon not just as an acting coach. You can just use her in your day-to-day life. When you're exercising, you just have her in the background the entire time. Because that's what I do now, I think.
She could be the new Siri. Yeah. I would love that.
Would you make Davon your assistant on your phone?
100%.
Yeah. Okay. Chris, anything else going on?
Don't really have anything right now. Just, I guess we're going to wait until the week is over when Kaser's funeral happens. But there's like plenty of stuff going on and I'm getting excited. So we'll see.
Okay. All right. Chris, always fun to talk to you. Okay.
All right. Always fun to be here. Thank you.
All right, take care. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right.
Kevin and Nigel, tell me what are some other things that you've noticed that you have seen something different than Taryn?
What's the other Taryn thing that I oppose in general? I think in general we just have I've always been more on the Brent side.
Yes,
of the Brent and Taryn divide because I appreciate character so much and I just want the most like ridiculous situation to occur. And so
that's why you're here.
That's why I'm here, and that's why you know Taryn isn't today. So. and so like, you know, to us, I know a lot of people have probably talked about like which all-stars, which really great game players would they want to see in the house. And like Nigel and I were talking earlier, like they should just put the worst people in the house. Just like put April Lewis back in. Just throw the most random people in.
When you say the worst people, are you saying that much like the Paulie Calafiore suggestion of all villains, or you just want the most random people?
The most random people. If you get Marvin Latimer in there, this will be a perfect season, I think.
So what should they do? Draw the names out of a hat?
Well, I think actually what we were thinking about is that maybe the next room that opens is like the alternate atrium, mm-hmm. you know, where the alternates are waiting in the wings. That like if you are not delivering on screen, Amber is right there and she will take your spot. She's been quarantined since June. She's going to be ready. And I think that could be a fun way to shake it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. You get Amber and Brittany Martinez. And I think maybe that is the missing ingredient on the season. I think we could even swap out Kevin for Anita Vito. You know, I was really excited when she was there opening night.
I think everybody was excited about Anita Vito because when I watched Love Island to be on the podcast with Kirsten McInnes and Brian Scally, that at the end of Love Island, they were like, hey, that they did a commercial for Big Brother of like Big Brother 22. And the entire commercial was just Anita Vito like getting ready, like Kevin, like putting the wig on and then walking around the room as Anita. It's like, oh, this is the biggest clip we have for Big Brother 22. Anita Vito is in the house. I think that they need Kevin to play the rest of the season as Anita Vito.
I think so. Maybe Anita Vito is like Julia Nolan. It only takes after week four is when she will truly appear.
Enter the house.
Yeah. Mm. Let's hope so, at least. I mean, I will take Anita coup d'etat at this point. Just anything to shake it up.
Yeah. Anita Vito could be the breakout character of the season that we need.
Do you think, I mean, is this Kevin that much different than the original Big Brother 11 Kevin? Because I feel like he was a lot more like confident than this version.
I don't know. The original Big Brother 11 Kevin was many, many years ago, and it would be hard for me to be able to recall. It was pre-Rob has a podcast.
Yeah, it's a different era.
Big Brother 11. So I was very casually watching Big Brother that summer.
Well, I just remember him, you know, telling Lydia and Shima to like get over the fact that Jesse had been evicted. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, get over Nicole being evicted. You can do this, Kevin. And so I think it was really exciting to have him on the season. I really hope he can turn it around because really it's only up from here, I think.
Yeah, you would think so. Okay. All right. Let's pick up the Zach that sucks is on the line. Zach, how are you?
I've been worse. How are you?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, same.
So I'm a relative newcomer to Big Brother.
Yes, you were debating whether or not you were ever going to watch it.
And I've been sort of following along. And from what I can tell, Big Brother is a show where everybody really wants something to happen, and then it doesn't ever.
Yes.
Is that about right?
Yeah, it's a microcosm for the world.
Pretty much. So, like, on average, how often would you say that the Big Brother audience is happy with what happens during the season?
Depends on the season. A lot of times there's a lot of belly aching from the audience, but then occasionally things end up turning in a positive direction.
Well, the reason I asked is because right now, from what I can tell, we're at one. One good thing has happened during the season. It was when Kacer and Janelle were safe during like the first week. Everybody liked that.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, like, are we above average or are we below average? How many good things should I be looking forward to happening throughout the rest of the season?
Kevin seeing and Nigel? Yeah. How many?
Seeing all of them be evicted would probably be really nice. People getting their comeuppance is really great. And I think when Big Brother is at its peak, it's really great. You know, when you have a good week, it makes up for all the other weeks. It's like when you get to leave the DMV, when you finally get what you wanted, it's great. It's just sometimes in the moment, you don't realize you're getting there.
Yeah. And I think another important thing too is how the momentum affects how you feel about things. Because let's say that Kacer did win HOH this week and the week didn't really go the way he wanted. He didn't get his target out. The fact that Kacer is at HOH, we would have been happy the whole week anyways. You know, so all it takes is one really good HOH or it takes one really good flip. And I think the fan base will turn pretty quickly in how they're feeling about the season.
So the highs are really high is what you're saying.
Yes.
They're very high. They're hard to come down from. People get really bad withdrawals about it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so Big Brother is like a drug. Good to know.
It's yeah. Very addictive, and that's why it's sustained itself for so many years. I mean, like I said, when it's good, I mean, Big Brother 21, you know, a lot of people complained how long of a slog it could have been, but you know, during the best HOH week,
it had its moments.
And had one of the better end games as well. You know, I think sometimes seasons in the beginning are really exciting, but by the end they peter out. This will likely be the opposite of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, you do make a good point in that no matter what, I do get to watch all but one of these people lose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So hang in there, Zach.
Will do.
Okay. All right. Take care. Bye.
Appreciate it. Bye.
Okay. Yeah, I think probably the least satisfying conclusion ends up being, you know, some version of Cody and, you know, pick your poison. Probably Cody Memphis ends up being a worst case scenario. I think that Cody Enzo and Enzo losing probably not great.
Yeah, you know, we're actually fairly high on. Oh, I'm sorry, you said Enzo. I was thinking Memphis here. Yeah, well, he said Memphis. Oh, you did say Memphis.
I did say both. I said both. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we're actually kind of high on Memphis because Memphis, not only did he decide to not target Janelle and Kacer, but he completely owned his villainy, and that can be really, really fun. And I think that we have a number of people on this season who, if they just leaned into being villains, would be a lot more enjoyable, but I think that they don't view themselves that way, so it's kind of hard to get on board with that.
Yeah, and I think when the villains turn inward, it'll be exciting. I think like Danny's like sneakiness isn't exactly fun when the minority is just such powerless people, but you know, if it really breaks through and she's like scrambling on the block, that is really exciting. So I think there's a lot of room to go. So I'm not out on the season.
Yeah, while we're here on Memphis, let's take a moment. Jar Jar Jacobs sends us a tweet. Please talk about old man Memphis's back problem. Are you aware of, does Memphis require the work of a chiropractor?
He certainly looks hunched while he's sitting here. I don't know if he has a back problem because, in my opinion, he's the only one with a backbone in the house right now.
Oh.
He's the only one going to like willingly to push back against, I think, Cody or Enzo or some of the other people. It's not the biggest back we've seen in the world, but I'll take it.
Okay.
Rob, you know how old he is?
He's 37.
He's 37. So I guess that by Big Brother standards, you know, he's like a senior citizen here. But we've, you know, older seasons, we've had plenty of contestants older than 37. So we shouldn't be sticking him so much as the old man in the
house. Oh,
acts like it. Sorry. If Jerry McDonald can do it, Memphis can do it too. So I trust him to get.
Do you think, is there something in the Big Brother house that's causing Memphis to rapidly age?
What could be causing Memphis to age in that house? Probably dealing with Nicole Franzel's voice. Yeah. I would guess that maybe could be one of them.
Maybe he sold his soul to get back on Big Brother, but that was the deal, that every day that he's in the house would age him a year.
Yeah. Well, does someone get the year back, though? Like, who does someone's life expand because of this? Jerry, that was the curse that was given to him.
Yeah. Jerry is, you know, that he's very virile right now. He's ready to go.
And maybe it's like a Little Mermaid curse situation where it's like, if he gets to the end and wins, then they both get to be youthful, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. Okay. Let's say hello to Josh G is here. Josh, how are you?
Good, Rob. How are you?
Very good. Josh, what's happening?
Not too much. Things are good. I was surprised that no one brought up David in Love Island. I thought.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yes. Did you see this? That David had revealed this week that actually what his real dream is to be on Love Island.
So I first thought it
was that sound effect. Is somebody is that hitting in the buzzer of that's David being on Love Island?
It's not me. I don't know.
Okay.
At first I thought it was one of those like joke accounts, like making a like incorrect update. But then I saw it was from a real one and was just floored. I mean, the guy could have been on the challenge. He gets asked to Big Brother All Stars. Mm-hmm. He doesn't even watch episodes, but he wants to go to the villa.
Yeah. And
the thing about the villa, Rob, that would be every sentence.
That's how he starts everything. The thing about. Yeah. So this is from Big Brother Daily reported over the weekend. Kevin had asked about, would you really do Love Island? Asking David. David says, that was my goal this summer. Nicole said, really? To do Love Island? And Dave says, yeah, I was working out for it. Maybe next summer if David is single. Boom.
I mean, hey, Love Island or guaranteed 40 grand, you know?
Yes. Well, if you recall, in Big Brother 20, Winston got voted out, and then they brought him into Love Island the following season. And I wonder if David saw that. First off, I know last summer there were a lot of people that were supposed to be on Love Island that they ended up bringing to Big Brother 21 for some reason. I think like Sis and Jack, I think were both supposed to be Love Island people that they brought in. So,
oh, you're being serious.
I'm being, yeah, Rob, I think Robin Cass worked in the casting for both shows.
Oh, I thought you were joking.
No, I'm being totally serious.
Wow. That adds up, actually. So that makes sense. Yeah. It was shocking that this man, it now makes the past two summers of Big Brother start to make sense, that he's going from Big Brother All-Stars.
Yeah.
But what he really wanted was Love Island.
Now, do you think that David would be particularly good on Love Island?
No. If he was ice cream flavor, he's vanilla. Like, and that show is not that show.
Yeah. Does not seem to really like have a lot of game with like chatting people up like you need to do on Love Island.
And he had that horribly awkward scene with Kat last summer, and like it would be terrible. Like,
yes,
he can't talk to anybody, and like the whole like crush with Davon, he gets all awkward around her. Like, I don't think he would be good on the show at all.
Okay, Kevin and Nigel are back. Kevin, what happened? Did your computer blow up at the mention of Love Island?
You know, it did. We've owned this computer for like 3 weeks, and it's already dying. So. Yeah, the guy from Best Buy promised it was the best, and we just believed him right away. You know, just like Danny, we were just buying everything that they're selling. And
yeah, well,
which was a mistake.
Yeah, Reem would tell you, dude, those geeks, that they tell you one thing and they give you another. It's so lame. Call customer service.
Oh, and by the way, Kevin and Nigel, I would take 36 Ghost Islands in a row over Edge of Extinction and Island.
Dude, you don't even know the half of it, Josh. Would you, Kevin and Nigel, would you watch David on Love Island season 3?
You know, I'm so frustrated that it doesn't seem like he did his homework for this season that I don't think I would watch Love Island.
Ooh, you would boycott it.
I might boycott it. No, I think I'd watch it. I think I'd watch it just because David's on it, because who else will he annoy? You know, I think that's he's the secret ingredient that will make Love Island work. It'll become Hate Island, depending on who else is in there with him.
Okay. All right. Josh, this really upset you about David on Love Island.
It only upsets me because, like, you see people in there who are, like, fighting for so much, whether it's, like, their family, a bigger cause, whatever it may be, or both.
Yeah, well, they want to stay at the villa, Josh. They don't want to get kicked off Love Island right away.
No. I'm talking about Big Brother All-Stars.
I know.
it's frustrating that a spot was given to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget which podcast it was set on, but I think it's absolutely right. All he did was sit in the diary room when he was evicted, and they just would air the stuff that he said was correct.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked like a genius to America when really this man has no idea how the veto works. He doesn't know if 4 people go on the block or if 2 go on the block. He's a mess.
Look,
he's a mess.
I think, and tell me if I'm off base with this one, but think that the show is figuring out what to do with David, and we talked about how nobody had the Dodo edit in this season, and I think that the producers and the editors are going to start having a lot more fun with David.
Oh yeah, every time he fell running into the house.
Yes.
He like slipped in the first week.
Yes.
And that didn't make it in the Dodo edit, but now like anything he does that's wrong is getting the music. They're giving him the filler segment, everything.
Mm-hmm. I think he's going to be the breakout star. Yeah, I think he'll have a lot of airtime going forward. How about that?
Hey, it'll help him for Love Island season 3. So.
Yeah. All right, Josh. Thank you so much, okay?
Thank you. Good talking to you guys.
Okay. I'm telling you, that David will be a breakout star this show before it's all said and done.
You know, I think what's kind of tough about it is that if you follow along with the live feeds, you get frustrated because of the conversations he's having with people. But you can actually just enjoy his edit on the show. So I think if you stay away from the live feeds, maybe the more casual fans will really enjoy David.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Speaking of some of the casual fans of the show, Anna is here. Anna has become a new Big Brother fan. I believe this is season number one for Anna.
Right.
Anna, is that, all that correct?
Yeah, it is season number one for me.
Season number one. Welcome aboard.
What an introduction.
What a
y'all,
season.
Truly, what a time.
What a season.
What a time to be
alive. We talked right after the first episode, and you had just recently started going through this. We were watching the live feeds, and you've stuck with it.
I have. I kind of dipped out of the live feeds for a bit because as much as I said in like the first time I was on here, that's like Survivor needs live feeds. I need all of this information.
You didn't need
having
all of
that information is so much. I think what also like really like got me out of the live feeds was that people were talking in circles around each other. Like nothing was really happening. Everybody was saying that they're not going to make moves. They're not going to do this. And then I just started watching the episodes. And now, in the past like 2 days, I'm back into like, yes, I am committed to this.
Yes,
and
why? What happened in the last 2 days?
Honestly, Cody opening up the committee. Like, Cody talking to Enzo about the committee and how he's not in that changed everything. I think that between that and Tyler's game like blowing up and him just saying, like, screw it, we're just going to swing for the fences and backdoor Danny and like pin it on these people and like make it happen. I'm like, yes, this is the playing that I want to see.
Yes.
Oh, I'm back in.
Yeah. You're back in on the season. Yes.
Oh, I'm
yeah,
totally
no, this was not like, when, Nigel and Kevin's computer blew up.
I was just like, oh no, please
yeah.
not.
No, you're here. You're here. You're back in on the season.
Yes. Oh, I dipped out. I didn't like dip out in terms of like not watching things, but out of the live feed specifically, I was like, let me be a casual for okay. a little bit. Like Janelle and Kaser, like I was rooting hard and clearly we see where that's going.
Okay.
So
Anna, now I know this is your first Big Brother season. So do you have any questions about the past of Big Brother that you would want to ask Kevin and Nigel can help you answer?
Okay. So two questions, separate topics. First and foremost, I went to school for audio design, like sound design. The sound editing on these like package like episodes afterwards, can someone walk me through that? Because I feel like
sure.
it makes you feel like if you like, I feel like a monkey could watch Big Brother and be just like bad, good, this, that. Also, if we talk about someone being sneaky, you hear a snake sound, like a hissing with like Danny. Or if you like are like looking at the rubber ducky ball, the squeaks like come through and the quacks come through.
Yes.
Or anything regarding the Peloton situation, that's another thing, like challenge names and all of that mess. So I'm just lost on all of that. As to like, how does that... I'm trying to take the show seriously, and yet I can't.
Well, that was your first mistake.
That was definitely your first mistake.
Yeah. You know,
I think it just ties back into the fact that you watch the end of an HOH comp on Thursday night. They explain everything to you. You see everyone starting. Sunday night rolls around, and then they start to explain everything all over again. You know, it's like they're really just trying to simplify it as much as possible so that when it's on in the background, you kind of pick up what's happening.
Yeah, it's actually really tough to sometimes sell the show to your friends and family. I talk about, you know, one reason I love Big Brother and Survivor, but Big Brother, you know, right here, is that I studied sociology. I love the idea of this microcosm playing out and what we can see from human behavior and how groups interact. And then you show someone and they see Janelle in a big star suit and you're like, this is not highbrow at all.
Right. Right.
Or Christmas has a DR and you hear little jingle bells.
Right. And it's like, and I also know like Twitter loves to call her like random different holidays as well. So it's like, Memorial Day did X, Y, and Z. Or look, President's Day got a new baby. And I'm just like, sure. Also the babies, the punishments. What? Why?
Because having children is a punishment in this society. It really is a regular life.
Yeah,
you know, locked in. You got me. You got me. Sold.
Sometimes with the punishment, it feels like they're just throwing everything at the wall. It's just a bunch of random stuff, and they'll see if any of it sticks. You know,
it's like a low budget version of like Masked Singer costumes with that like big star out there, and I was just like, cover the face and like get ready to see Janelle.
Yeah, which
Housewife
is it? Kevin and Nigel, that I know you are both Big Brother historians. The show did not start this way, Anna. You might find this interesting that it was actually treated itself very seriously in the first season. But I wonder, was there a point where the show jumped the shark, or are we like the proverbial frog in the pot of boiling water, where just over time it became increasingly nonsensical?
I mean, I think so. Big Brother 16, I think, really stands out as a moment where the show became more wacky. You know, I think in the early seasons, there was a lot of conversation about race and sexuality, you know, things that were very interesting. And I think it's no surprise that Kacer, an old school player, is the one driving a lot of the conversations that are happening. And, you know, Kacer's introduction to the show was really massive at the time. I mean, this is like 2005 or so. And this is a Middle Eastern person, and we just invaded Iraq a few years earlier. So, you know, the show has that. And I do think there's moments that the show can touch on. But yeah, the silly costumes really got its stride, I think, around 16 or so. If there are old school seasons, you would, you know, if you prefer that kind of concept, we've been watching Big Brother 5 very recently. And I think there's a lot of interesting characters that seem more like regular people than today. And I don't think the pacing is that slow either.
Okay.
Gotcha. Okay.
All right, so what else about Big Brother 22?
Okay. I know an issue happened with like someone at a wall and they were screaming.
Yes, so
at
it was
people.
A yeller came.
Yeah. So, and like apparently like feeds were shut down. Like I remember like getting a Twitter update and there's like, there's a wall screamer like saying X, Y, and Z. And I think it was something about like Nicole and Cody. And then all of a sudden, like I'm looking at the live feeds and everything's down. And I was like, why are you screaming at a wall?
So the wall shouters are a Big Brother staple. It happens every single year. Some dedicated fan gets really close to the CBS slot and wants to impact the game somehow. And every year you see everyone online talking about it and they get really excited and then nothing ever comes of it. And actually the wall screamer is, you know, has been around for a while, but in the old school era, they used to have banner planes that people would hire banner planes to go over. And actually Dani Donato in her season, she was hanging upside down in the HOH comp. So they could not divert their eyes. And there was a message in the sky saying who she should target. So, you know, the idea of the fans trying to influence the game is nothing new.
Anna, your mind is blown. You love it.
I love it, but it seems like I only love it when it works or like if nothing like, comes of it. But now I'm just imagining like all of, like, I'm just imagining because Survivor will be on Fiji for the end of time, who just like rents a seaplane and like just goes over Fiji. But
well, how would
happens.
You know what was happening on Survivor?
Live, and that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Now I'm backing on the idea of feeds, because if live feeds happen during Survivor, someone with a banner plane like flying over Fiji, like, imagine if Sophie had that and being just like, Tony's coming for you. Call it down. Mm-hmm. Call it done.
Yes.
Wow.
Do you think that we should have more wall yellers? Is that the issue? Maybe what if there was just like nonstop people yelling outside in the backyard?
It just seems like their success rate is so low. It's like for anything like coming of it, like show me a wall screamer that like gets it done. I'd be just like, yes, I'm hopping back in on this investment.
Yes.
But I'm like,
Kevin or Nigel, do either of you know what did the wall yeller yell? Cody and Nicole are working together.
It was something along the lines of Cody and Nicole are playing everybody, or, you know, something along those lines,
which totally makes sense, because I'm just now like locking into the conversation that Cody and Enzo had, where if they're talking about like their three people next to get out, they give a list of, I think it's Enzo puts out a list of Danny, Davon, and then Nicole Franzel, and Cody immediately turns around and is just like, no, let's do Davon, Danny, and Ian. And it was like, oh, you mean all three of the people that Nicole is like keeping as her like options to like spread out? So I'm like, yeah, that kind of locks it in. Mm-hmm. Why does someone really needs to move on?
These people that do the wall yelling are so uncreative, because that what you really need to do is go old school. You want somebody to you want to crack this alliance. Hey, Victor met somebody else. That's it. Alliance over. Nicole.
Break it down.
Nicole's in a spiral. Maybe self-evicts. That's it. That was the message.
Maybe she puts herself up on the block like Christmas did. What a move. Yeah. What a time.
That's like going back to, you know, Big Brother 2. Actually, in Big Brother 2, there was a woman, Nicole, who did her actual husband fly the banner plane that they ended up seeing in the house?
No,
he didn't fly it, but he paid for it. He sent a message into the house. I'm mad about something that happened.
Is your relationship even real if you do not pay for a banner plane to fly over the house? Dominic, what are you doing?
I don't know.
I'm ready to change my Tinder bio right now. It's like, will you fly like a banner plane like for me? Otherwise, if it's not that, I don't want it.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Okay. And any other questions about the past or present of Big Brother?
Oh, gosh. I mean, as of right now, I'm just excited to be back in and like fully like locked in now that things are like moving and picking up pace. I know, once I start seeing, bring it down. And I heard the whole conversation about like highs and lows and like,
you're falling into a trap.
Oh, gosh, disappointed.
This is how they get you.
This is going to be how they get me. But
you're way
honestly,
too happy.
I just need to see like gifs of like Enzo like riding a banana, or like Janelle in like a star costume, or like Christmas with lying in bed like swaddled in 12 star babies. Mm-hmm.
Just watch the scene with Davon and the star babies again. That's a good reason.
God bless us.
You need the opposite of that. You need to come down. You're too high up that Davon will just get you higher.
I'm going to crash so hard. I feel it in my bones. Probably when Kacer like leaves, which, you know.
You need to watch something that's like soul crushing.
Ooh.
Just watch Kacer almost win HOH.
On loop. Puppy videos like that'll get
actually
me.
if you want to come down and you're too high, maybe start Big Brother 21. That's a really sad story.
Right. Okay. So this like cursed season apparently.
Can't wait to start
once I even get finished with this season. Can't wait to
make sure
go
you watch all the way
back
to the end. Yeah. Okay.
Oh joy! I'm so excited. Can't you tell?
Okay. All right. Anna, so nice to get the catch up.
Of course, yeah. Thanks for having me.
All right, take care. Bye.
Bye. Okay.
Anna's so excited. She comes into Big Brother 20, maybe because she has no context of, hey, this used to be really something.
She doesn't understand how low it can really go. I just don't think things have quite gotten into gear yet, but I don't think that this is some of the lows that I've experienced before.
Yeah. Maybe that's the move. Maybe that Big Brother needs to sort of like just continually like bring in new people. Like, hey, this is great. Whereas people who have been, you know, they're seen all like the old school Big Brother, like it's not like how it used to be. Like, they just need to keep finding new fans. That's where, like, in Big BB16, I do think is the, you guys are right on the money with BB16 changed everything.
It's just like a lot of bright colors. They brought in Battle of the Block, which is a completely different mechanism for how the show works.
And on top of that, I do believe that Frankie Grande, if we're going to talk for real for a minute. So I do think that Frankie Grande ended up bringing in a lot of people to the show that were a younger fan base that sort of like have grown with the show. So I think that it was, you had an influx of different viewers who came to the show and became sort of Big Brother fans and stayed with it. You also had the Battle of the Block, which sort of then ended up causing like the Cody Derek style of gameplay, which has really took hold of the show. And then here in this season, you know, you brought back Cody Calafiore, who's executing the Derek playbook here.
Yeah, and that, I guess that was kind of frustrating with the cast in general. And I do think a lot of these people are like worthy of being an all-star. But, you know, you put a bunch of people who are very, I think, resistant to flipping the status quo. I mean, Enzo, Memphis,
Cody, Tyler. I mean, these are people that know how to ride out an alliance for the most part, and I think are people who people gravitate towards naturally, and they don't need to flip the game around. You know, I think if you threw in like a Devin Shepherd or a Caitlin Herman, you're probably going to get a lot more flips here and there. They may not be as telegenic as some of these other people who maybe they have different fans, but mm-hmm. I think that's the missing ingredient. There needs to be a little more chaos because I think everyone's playing almost too well because they're trying to hold their cards close. And I don't want your cards close. You know, I want it to be a mess.
Do you two have a lot of differing opinions? I know that you have disagreements with Taryn, Kevin, but do you two have different opinions on some of the characters from this season?
From this season, do you have any
who's
big
the
different
person
opinions
that
from
that is, there's the biggest delta between the two of you?
In Big Brother history or
no,
just
this season? Let's start with the season.
Okay, so I think I'm probably just less low on Nicole Franzel than he is. Kevin is very low.
I was low on Nicole Franzel back since Big Brother 16, for the record.
Whoa.
I've not been a fan of Nicole Franzel for quite some time. I'm like a hipster. I knew about it before all of you did. And I remember when Big Brother 18 was being considered as a returnee season. I know you had a podcast about like the fans were voting or who should come back, and you really wanted Devin Shepherd for the fans to support.
Yes.
And he was not put in, and they put in Jody and Nicole Franzel, right? So they had a different vision. And I always thought Nicole felt very cusp person for like an all-star season, but she's kind of become like the poster child of like the face of Big Brother in many ways. This young, very cute, adorable person that I think people just gravitate towards. And I was telling Nigel beforehand, I think what frustrates me is that I think Nicole comes into the house with a lot of implicit trust. Despite being a very self-interested person, I think people see Nicole because because of her accent, because of what she looks like, because of just how she carries herself. People want to take care of her. And so I think that draws people in a way that I don't think a lot of other people are afforded in Big Brother or in life in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, are people doing the same thing for Davon, or is it when Davon has... you know, she's like almost fiercely loyal and is not seen as that. But Nicole, who's very self-interested, is seen as loyal for some reason. And if you attack Nicole, she's like the blob you cannot defeat. Because if you attack her, she becomes the victim, and then you become the antagonist. So there's no way of actually getting around her because people will start coming to her defense again. So I think that's what makes
this interesting. So how do you attack the Nicole Franzel entity? What is the right way? Now, they got her out twice in Big Brother 16.
Yeah, I think it's because they didn't have their hooks into her. You know, how do you get Nicole out of the game? I think, yeah.
I think that you need to make Nicole make mistakes, right? I think that keeping Janelle around keeps her on edge. I think if I played the game, the weeks that I'm safe, I would play a really good game because I'll be at ease. But if there's like a risk of me going home because whoever the HOH is, I'm going to be nervous. I'm not going to be as good in my interactions. I might be like shorter with people. So I think that you need to keep Nicole on edge. But with her biggest adversary in the house gone, I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Yeah. I do wonder with her, you know, if Danny ends up going out, if, you know, also Ian ends up going out and sort of like, oh, my ride or dies are all getting picked off. I have to have all my eggs in Cody's basket, and Cody has Enzo and Memphis and these other people that I'm not necessarily as close with. I wonder if she might start to go into a little bit of a spiral.
I do wonder that too, but I think that the issue for Nicole is that once she gets to that point, she'll have already lost a lot of her numbers, and it's maybe too late for her to make a move that ends up working out for her.
Oh yeah, she can't make a move at that point. And it'll be interesting to see how she reacts to all that.
Yeah, so I guess the move is you just slowly pick off all of Nicole's numbers until it's just her.
And that's what happened in BB16, right? Yeah. If you take away all of her soldiers, she can't do anything. So
who else were her soldiers besides Hayden Voss
In that season?
Yeah.
Donnie wasn't really a soldier. He was more of just What's
an acquaintance?
I'm trying to think of an
associate.
They just happen to be on the same battlefield, but soldier. And also makes it sound like Nicole's like directing people, which I don't think is really the case either. I think she just has a decent network of people that she can rely on. And you need to pull all those emotional like safety blankets out from her.
Okay.
You know?
All right. Kevin and Nigel, anything else that either of you want to say about Big Brother 22?
Can we quickly just mention how, what are your thoughts on the have-not exchange in general?
I like it, but I don't like the volunteering.
Yes, I think if you volunteer, you go on slop and they still got to pick someone else.
Oh,
I think
wow.
That's the secret. Or a penalty nom. I don't you. If you take away the drama, you should be penalized completely. That is, I think, the secret. And that's what they need to do.
Yeah, you can't say, is anybody volunteer?
It's like you'll just hear the little ding go off from like the speakers in the house, and it's like automatic nomination right there.
Mm-hmm.
Or automatic have not.
Yeah, I like them. Make them pick, but don't give anybody the easy way out.
Yeah, because again, it's all of these twists and add-ons work when you get to bring more personality out from people. And by making them choose somebody else, you know, you're putting them in this like on the spot in front of everybody else. Some people don't take it very well when they're nominated. I enjoyed that Nicole Franzel said something to Janelle when she chose her to be a have-not. I did not like the actual execution of it, but I liked the idea of being a little bit snarkier with it. And I just hope that we see more of that this season.
Yes. Okay. You liked it when she ended up picking Janelle and said,
okay, I'm going to pick someone who hasn't done it before and likes to talk about me, Janelle.
Oh.
Yep.
Go ahead, Dad.
It's still just, she was like snarky with her in that comment, but it was still the most lackluster coming after her that she could possibly give.
And she became the blob you cannot defeat as soon as it happened. Like she just, I didn't mean it. And I was like, no, why? Mm-hmm. I just wish she owned it. I know everyone's been criticizing that. And, you know, I think people complain about like Danielle and stuff this season, but I don't mind someone leaning into their villainy. What I have an issue with is someone who doesn't seem to embrace it at all. And I come on, Nicole, it's call her something serious or don't call her at all. And maybe like have Yvette drop a line, just something really rile someone up.
How do you think Nicole should have uninvited Janelle from the wedding?
It should have been harsher. It should have been a clear uninvited, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think you could have used a bye-bye bitches line, perhaps. Mm-hmm. You know, call something back. You use something. I don't know.
Yeah, Nicole says she's a super fan, so that was a perfect time to do a reference to Janelle as well.
Yeah, nice.
Give me back that invitation.
Yeah, okay. Kevin and Nigel, very fun to get to catch up with you both about Big Brother. Any other final thoughts?
We're just over here praying.
You studied.
We did. Well, you know, we're just praying that Dani gets this black hair dye so that she can come back into her villainy that was BB13. You know, I think that Dani was actually the person I was most looking forward to seeing back on my screen this year. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people are down on her, but I just think that there is still plenty of time for her to grow back into the fan favorite that we know her to be.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping so. And, you know, I think characters can maybe be like their best version of themselves still. Actually, this was my favorite version of Janelle in four seasons, which is pretty wild considering she was such a big fan favorite.
Yeah.
I kind of always thought of her as like the Terry Dietz of Big Brother.
Whoa.
You know, where people would be like, she's the best to never win. I'm like, Danielle Reyes is right here. What are you even talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And now I can really appreciate the fact that like she just brings so much, you know, personality in a way. And, you know, I think there's still room for that. And I'm looking forward to it. I think Enzo has actually been far more entertaining this season than he was in Big Brother 12.
Sure.
So, you know, I like I said, I'm trying to be hopeful because a lot of these people were very excited to see back. And I think they can deliver, or I hope they can.
Okay. All right. Well, you both delivered here today. So I appreciate that. Where can people keep up with you two?
I'm on Twitter. It's at Bocanegra_Nigel. It's my last name. You can also find me on Instagram at Nigel Speed. I just like likes for my vanity, so catch me there.
You can also follow me on Instagram at Asian Narcissist, one word. And on Twitter, I'm Asian Narc because Narcissist was taken. So Asian Narc on Twitter.
Do you ever have a problem where people think that maybe you are trying to blow up their drug trade? Like, oh, wait, hold on. This guy's a narc.
Yeah. You know, I think I would get a lot more attention if people thought I'd get more traffic if people thought I was actually going to do that. Mm-hmm. I do stand up in D.C. and people always ask, like,
know this.
Yeah. I do stand up in D.C. when there's not a pandemic, of course.
Yes.
And people would always ask, like, where can I follow you? And I say Asian narcissist. And then they're like, oh, I don't know if I can spell narcissist. And they give me their phone and they spelled Asian wrong. So, you know, it's I think Asian narc, Asian narcissist. Hopefully they can figure out one of them. I actually taped I'm part of a political troupe where we do impersonation of different politicians because it's very DC.
Yeah.
I played Ben Shapiro and a very fabulous Mike Pence. Mm-hmm. And so I will probably tweet about that in the near future as well. So, we have a lot going on in our lives. And if there's anyone out there that wants to hear our takes on Big Brother or just how much we love each other, you know, those are the platforms where we do it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you two are so fun to talk to. This relationship is so fun that you guys have so much in common. It's so unrelatable to me.
It's pretty incredible that when we first met, you know, we just started to get to know each other a little bit and it felt like we have absolutely everything in common. But to be fair, Survivor and Big Brother take up like what feels like 40 to 50% of our time anyways. Mm-hmm. So
that's the secret. Base your relationship just on a mutual interest and never discuss anything else.
Mutual interest. This is, you're blowing my mind.
Groundbreaking.
Yes. Okay. All right.
Put us on the next Love Know-It-Alls, Rob.
All right. Well, thank you both. And that would actually be a great podcast. So thank you both for being here. Had so much fun on the slop. Thanks so much to Mary Kwiatkowski and Ryan Popola and Kelly Wentworth. Of course, to Kevin and Nigel as well. We will be back next week, back on Monday. If you see slop happening, use the hashtag SLOPRHAP and let me know about it so we can talk about it here on this show. On Thursday, we are going to be kicking off a brand new patron exclusive. We'll be doing a Big Brother pregame show and we will take more of your calls before we get to Thursday's eviction show. So look for that. If you're a patron of Rob's podcast, we'll send you a link before we get to Thursday where you could do that. And of course, the start of a new month, great time to jump in. robhaswebsite.com/patron for more information about our patron community, patron-only podcast feed, and more. Of course, could not be doing all of this Big Brother podcasting without the support of our amazing patrons at robhaswebsite.com/patron. Thank you so much for watching. Take care, everybody. We'll be back on LFC Roundtable on Tuesday night. I'll be back after the episode on Wednesday and Thursday as well. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.